Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Mark, how you doing today?
Not bad.
Mark, I thought you'd be more excited. You made them ribs today. Got you tired. Look at you. Martin Thomas, how you doing?
Not bad.
You smoke your lips too? Why your lips so white right now, man? They look a little bit, yeah. Put some moisture on them, man. Yeah, man. Candy. Got them crackhead lips in here, man.
But do you snort the cocaine or do you chew it?
Well, you've been chewing it. Using it for lip gloss. How y'all doing today? Oh, I said I was going to take my coat off because I got all this dog fur on it. Oh, how's everybody doing? Thank you very much. Let's throw this over here. Ass dog been on me. How's it going, everybody? Good to have you here. Welcome to Sunday service here on DoubleToaster.com. I am Pastor Corey Coleman. Over here got Minister Martin Thomas. Oh, there
it's
it
the
is.
Lips.
There it is. Not no more, man. Yeah, I want that juicy red back. There it is. Citrus lips. How you doing, man? Oh, good to have y'all here, man. Good to have you back. Good to have your lips back. That's nasty.
Old citrus lips.
Old citrus lips. That's from Cat Daddy Citrus Lips. You are evolving, Martin.
And really?
Clearly.
Final form.
Yeah. Is that it or is there more?
Oh, there's more.
Oh, I can't wait, man. Another nickname. Good to see you, man.
You too.
Martin brought me some ribs. So I better quit messing with him, man. If we take them back, I didn't get a chance to eat them yet. Martin.
Too full on Jack in the Box.
Martin jumped on me too, boy, about this Jack in the Box. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. If you watch the pre-show, you probably heard some things that I might repeat. I had a little trouble today. Had a kind of a close call on something, but we'll let you know what that is. After we let you know what's happening on the show for the main items that we have here today in the sermon, Martin, we got not one, but two movies we had to catch up on.
I thought it was three.
I said, fuck that.
When you kept insisting on that, I was like, how the hell is he going to see three movies before Sunday?
Yeah, well, at the time I was drunk, I think.
You weren't.
No, I was not?
No.
Okay, I'm just stupid then. Yeah, next time I say some stupid shit like that, just slap the hell out of me, man. I'm going to see three movies. Don't shut the fuck up. Get a hold of yourself. Huh? What did I say? Three. I don't know who that person was. No, man. No, I saw two. And I'm glad I did because another one didn't even matter because nobody saw that.
I know. I can't believe it.
Yeah. I don't even think it was even one that like – because sometimes people don't see a movie, but it's so crazy that you got to let people know. Uh-huh. And people are like, man, don't worry about this. There's a reason why people didn't see this.
I guess so.
Yeah, we got the main ones out the way. We're going to be talking about Cold Pursuit. And also, What Man Want. And people have been asking for Denise. They want her crazy ass back up here. So she volunteered to go see What Man Want.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, she would know.
Oh, you saw Cold Pursuit, too?
Damn,
girl, you've been putting in work. Okay. Well, shit, y'all getting a double dose of crazy today. Y'all came here looking for normal reviews today. Well, ain't going to happen. Yeah, we'll let her.
Yeah, I'll sit those out and let her talk.
No, bro, don't do that. Shit, this show, we'll be here till tomorrow. For my next review, I saw.
Oh, she's gonna swing that ball.
I thought. Shit, you see where I looked over real quick? Oh shit, she finally snapped. Help!
Enough is enough.
I have had. We'll have time to run, but I'm going to. Get. I'm home already. You don't get shit. But, yeah, we'll have Denise up here. We'll try to figure out how to get up here. We'll have her up here for What Man Want. And then you and I will talk about Cold Pursuit, and then we'll let her chime in.
Okay.
Yeah, so we don't have to get too long with that. Also, we had a death out there today. I'm very sad about it. From somebody who brought us a lot of joy. And most of you probably going to feel very guilty about that joy. That this person brought you, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. I'm not gonna hit you with the heavy shit right now. One of the things that I got to do, Martin, talking about depressing things, I have not even got the chat up and running. Ooh. I have a lot on my mind.
It's one thing to not mention them, but to not even have them.
I shouldn't even said that. Because you know I almost had a death in my family today, so I have a lot on my mind. But that's no excuse. I know that's no.
Really,
that's,
we're pulling sympathy from him.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We are. We are pulling sympathy from. I'll pull sympathy out my ass if I have to. I'll do it too. I'll reach deep up in there. Feel sorry for me. I'm fisting myself. So, uh oh. They say brace yourselves. Denise is coming. The chat is preparing themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Chatter Tat Tat. Here they are. Denise reviewing two movies. They said, look like we're going to be here for another extra 3 hours today. You just might. So brace yourselves, everybody, as they say in the chat right now. And let me see here. Got some people up in the audience I'm going to talk about in a little while. I want to welcome everybody here. Michael's back. What? Michael, he loves to sit in the shadows, man. Was
he there on Monday back then?
Yeah, he was back there all night on Monday. He's just back there just plotting shit. Look, you can come to the front. I don't know why he wants to just hide back there.
You know what? Maybe he's in the witness protection program.
Well, that shit is the wrong place to be. Come and sit in front of a camera. I mean, yeah, you in the back, but you still in front of a camera. Maybe he's trying to like put that shadow on himself. And when I talk to him, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
Distorting his own voice. His name's not really Mike. Charles or some shit. And let me see. I'm going to introduce you to somebody in a little bit. Somebody that's special in the life of Corey. I'll introduce them a little history for
this
you.
This is
right
your
here.
Life.
Yeah, special, man. Yeah. You. I'll tell you why you're special too, man. This man did something for me. He probably don't even remember. This man did something for me that no one else could ever do, and I appreciate that for the experience because a lot of friends can't do that for some of their friends. But I'll tell you what that is in a little bit.
Give you a kidney?
It's close, man. It's very close. It's very close. Even beyond that, man. Why are y'all talking to me like this? Well, fuck Coleman. What did I do? What the hell did I do? What did I do, man? Why are y'all hating on me right now? I said I had a hard day. I had a lot on my mind. I had almost a death in the family. Well, fuck you, nigga. I was like, what the hell? What did I do? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Well, we'll let you know all about that. We'll explain to you in a little while. But since we are running behind, let me go ahead and welcome the rest of you up here into the show. We hope to get you up in here one day because you know how y'all are. You need to be here because y'all been out in them streets Sunday morning. So that means Saturday night. Boy, y'all are running with the devil out there. Nick, you act like you've been doing it. I said, they've been running with the devil. Like, yeah, that's me, man. Fucking everything in sight. That's me, man.
Devil's my co-pilot.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know you've been out there fornicating, drinking, sinning, and doing all kind of devious things that God don't like. Come on in here and do some more with us. We got a little bit of extra for you. Don't give up just yet. You know you ain't done. Let's corrupt that ass a little bit more. So please come on. Come on into the... Boy, you are evil as fuck, Nick.
Yeah, that's me.
But come on up in the church. All you got to do is email us. Pull out that keyboard and pop it open and type in for us, kcoolmans@gmail.com. That's kcoolmanz @gmail.com. You can email us with any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. Want to be a part of the show this evening as we're asking you to part of the church? In that email, put your phone number there, Skype contacting them, Google Hangouts, anything else you think you might need to get a hold of you, press send, and hallelujah, up in your home, bringing the spirit to you, the only pastors in the world, to the house calls. On the Twitter, type in Double Toasted. On Instagram, type in Double Toasted. On Facebook, type in, that's right, Double Toasted. But if you want some private time with me, type in Corey.coma.5. I'm too busy out there corrupting souls. Mr. Minister Martin Thomas.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram @Martin_Nofro. Or just look for Martin Thomas on Facebook.
I'll look for Martin Thomas right up here in the church/world-famous Double Toasted Studios. Now with two stankin'-ass couches. All you gotta do is let us know if you're gonna be visiting Austin. You got too drunk, can't get up and go back to where you came from, so you're just gonna stay here. We used to sweep y'all's asses up and just throw in the trash, but we're fine with you now. We welcome you here. Go ahead, but we are not happy if you do not come see a show. That is the ultimate sin, so please let us know. Come see a show. Email us, kcoolmans@gmail.com. Send us some details. I'm going to send you back some details. We're going to coordinate with each other, and that way we can accommodate you. Woo! Shit! All right. Let me see here. What the hell is going on back there? Don't you be making a bunch of noise back there. All right. Okay. All right. Hey, now, girl, you've been good. Don't make me start hollering at you with your greed ass. She's hurt. She's like my dog, man. She saw there was food back there and got her ass right up and ran back there.
Hey, she's hungry.
Yeah.
And she's in the proper spot.
Back there, wagging her tail. Look at that. I heard it too. You got them pickles? I didn't hear Felix at all. I heard Joe ass. She smelled pickles coming all the way from over here.
Is that sour vinegar?
It's not odd that Felix just happens to have a jar of pickles in here?
No, it's not odd. That's the most normal thing about Felix. Don't go get out. Don't worry about it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to store your pickles. Coming here with a backstory about these pickles.
About to get the origin of the pickles, too. Yeah, well, flashback and everything.
That's a private show for you then, Martin. I don't want to hear that shit.
I wasn't invoking a story.
I mean, all he said was pickles. He just ran. I got a story about that. Shit, last time we talked about a goddamn fruit or vegetable, it was a watermelon incident. We don't want to hear none of that. We don't need no more food incidents from you.
These racists. just eat your pickles.
Do these look like dicks?
Sure, man. That's what you see. I'll tell you what, stick it in your ass and see how it feels. Never forget the Great Watermelon Incident of 2018.
Oh, man.
Lest we are cursed to repeat it.
So many crazy incidents.
I know.
Just can't catalog them all.
Can't catalog them all, man. Gotta catch them all.
They just come out of nowhere.
Man, that girl back there eating them pickles, too. What, Jesus Christ. She brought on sauce and everything.
I know. Felix has a tear coming out of his eye.
I know.
I was going to eat some of those. Yeah, I know.
She back there just drinking the juice and shit. Yeah, I know. It's your crazy ass. Goddamn, looking like a fucking fiend back there. Got the jar in her hand. Get them pickles away from her before she embalm herself.
She didn't even know where he got those
from. I know.
It probably used to be a bum's toilet.
Ain't nobody smell that pickle juice, but she got a whiff up and her ass just got right up. Juice.
You know, like in old cartoons where the aroma would come as a physical thing and drag the person over there.
Yeah. Except that shit grabbed her by her head and just picked her ass up. Come on.
Come here, woman.
Hey, woman. Hey, woman. Want to see real pickle? Come on to the back room. I'll show you real pickle. Felix said, shut up, man. Yeah, y'all, I apologize for the start today. I mean, we came under a little bit of a pre-show. We'll probably put that in the exclusive category for you guys. But I had a little bit of a emergency today. I have not slept all night long because my dog is stupid. I know y'all saying most dogs are stupid, but my dog is dumber than the rest. This dog, we got up in the middle of the night. You could hear this dog just scratching about. And like I was saying, the dogs that we have are pretty well trained. So they sleep all night. You know, they're on the same schedule as the humans in the house. So they don't bother nobody, man. Shit, even the dogs know when to go to bed. Like, we be partying and shit, and the dogs just kind of like, man, fuck this. You know, I can't go hard like this. They just give up, man. But so the dog was running around the middle of the night, man, and I kind of knew something was wrong when I got up and saw that dog shaking and quivering and looking all abused and shit. Like, dog actually looked like I beat him, man. Like, if you actually came to the house, you would call CPS for the dog, man. Mm-hmm. You know, you would have that dog taken away from me. It turns out he threw up all over the house. Now, it was dark. Unfortunately, I didn't slip on any of it and, you know, step on any of it. I did not know. But in the dark, he just went around the house just dropping bombs everywhere.
Just painting up just place or setting landmines.
Hell yeah. Shit, it's almost like dog was like retiling the fucking floor, man. Just in the dark, just going around, just leaving piles of dog vomit.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I knew something was wrong because he's the main one to go lay with us. Like he's loyal. Dog's loyal almost to a fault, man. And like, I'm scared that somebody's going to like, because, you know, he used to like when people would hug us, he'd be like, get the fuck off, man. You know, it's like we had our own security. Yeah. I almost like,
your bodyguard.
Well, yeah. I almost put like a security shirt on that dog, man, so people would know. Don't mess with me, man. I got my guard right here. But, so I knew he'd been doing something, but I just didn't see it. So, my wife got up today when I was at the movie, and turns out, and this is what got me, man. I was like, because she's the kind of mom. We have a kid. She's going to be the kind of mom just digging through the kid's shit. You know, just looking for things.
Sometimes that's what you got to do.
Yeah, well, good. That's what a mom should do, because dad ain't doing that. Dad ain't digging up in that. Dad, I like, look, call me a bad father, but I ain't fucking making sculptures out of turds trying to find out what's going on with my kid. That's what doctors are for. You know, so all right. that's what moms are for. You know, so I know my wife, she saw the vomit on the ground, so she started doing all this detective work and shit, you know.
Snapping on the rubber gloves.
Yeah, doing CSI shit, you know, pulling up bits and, you know, looking at it and shit. She sent me a picture, and this dumbass dog been eating rocks. The dog been throwing up pebbles. I'm like, no wonder he been throwing up shit.
Where was he getting rocks from?
The backyard.
Oh, just going back there, just eating rocks.
I like the way you talk about where did he get the rocks from? A fucking crack dealer, I guess. You know,
you could have had an aquarium or some kind of zoo garden or something.
I mean, I don't blame you for asking, because I was just like, damn, you know, the dog's eating rocks. I'm like, do we have a crackhead for a dog?
Because usually, if you find out they're eating a foreign object, you go like, oh, we got to take this away. This should have been there in the first place. But rocks are everywhere.
Yeah, right. Little pebbles, man. Dog's been eating rocks. Shit, but I don't know, he probably smoked this shit before he ate it. I don't know. Woke up in the middle of the night, and this dog looking like goddamn Gator from Jungle Fever and shit. You all right, Mojo?
I got a dance just for you, Dad.
Shit, lucky I didn't pull a Ozzy Davis on his ass.
I forgot he did that spin.
Yeah, fool did that 360 right there.
I pray for you, my son. Father, I stretch my hands to thee.
Shit, if I had known he had vomited all around the house, I would have done his ass like that. Yeah, dogs, you got a fucking crackhead for a dog. Dog's been eating rocks. I don't know why. I don't know what happened, but of course he can't digest the shit. So,
of course.
So, yeah, so he's been just walking around the house just vomiting stones, man. Like stones covered in slime. And I'm just like, how stupid can a dog be?
So were there any in his intestines that had to be snaked out? Or
I think he ate so much of it that it was weighing his ass down. Because half the time, the dog, he couldn't move and shit. And I was like, how many fucking stones did you eat? Because obviously he was like, if I threw him in the fucking river, he would sink. I got rocks in his ass. He just...
Sorry, Corey. I just can't stay away from him. Hey, good man, you just don't know.
Yeah, well, shit, take that shit to a crack house or something, because I don't want that shit here. Yeah, $75 for them telling me the dog been eating rocks and that they had to give him fluid for it. So the dog, yeah, so
so it was like an enema, or they just made him drink a
bunch of stuff? I don't know, because the dog, he was going to the house, like he couldn't really sit down. Oh, Jesus. I know, I'm not trying to talk bad about, but like the dog, I guess he got so many rocks about to like come out of his ass that it hurts, because every time he sits down, he does it for a while, and he just kind of like, he just starts walking again, but then he's like, I can't keep standing up and walking for a while.
So tired.
And I think he feels like, well, shit, if I lay down, my ass ain't getting back up. So when she saw that there are rocks in his vomit, I said, look, I don't know what to do, man. Half of me just says, if you dumb enough to eat rocks, then you too stupid to live. You know, if you can't eat food that we provide for you, we buy food for you, man.
I know, but I just need some variety.
Yeah. Shit, it's eat the cat food then or something.
You know, somebody gave you steak every day. Every once in a while, you want a hamburger.
You
want to
slum it, huh? Yeah. Shit, I thought that's what the cat turds were for. This dog eats everything that's not normal in the house. Cat takes the shit just to laugh at him eating her turds. I swear to God, the cat wait for an audience. The cat is almost like teasing the dog. Like, guess what I'm about to do? Dog, oh, shit.
Don't tease me, cat.
Childhood. Yeah, man, this dog eats the most abnormal shit. And it's, so far, he's been able to live through it. So I'm like, fine. But I'm like, man, you know what? It's bad enough that I already pick up your shit. I don't want to pick up your shit now that it's heavier. Now you got rocks in it. You know, just stupid, man. Just dumb. I mean, I feel bad for him. Because it's something about it. No matter how dumb a dog is, they just know how to play in your sympathies. Because the dog was laying in Mojo. Our dog's name is Mojo. Pixie Pixie's crazy, but she's fine. You don't ever catch Pixie eating shit. You don't ever catch Pixie.
Not yet.
Not, well, I'm looking at this dumbass. Yeah, I think even she looks at him just kind of like, Jesus, you fucking stupid. You know what I mean, I think.
I was going to give you something. But
yeah. Yeah. This dog knows how to work my sympathies because when I got up in the middle of the night to see what was going on, I saw he couldn't move and everything. You know, he just gave me that look like, hold me. I just need comfort from somebody. And I sat there with him for like about an hour in the dark, man, just holding him, man. Aww. And that's the only, that's, you know, I did it because every time I put his ass down, that's when he, oh, shit. Oh, shit. I can feel it in me.
Man, when you talking about the dog being dumb, I was like, all right, you're kind of exaggerating, but that's dumb.
Yeah.
Because a dog is supposed to have survival instincts even better than ours.
I told y'all, man, we have taken the survival skills away from dogs so much that they're just stupid. I was telling Mark, man, you know, back in the day, man, dogs used to run alongside man. We used to hunt in packs together. Mm-hmm. We used to kill together.
Yeah.
And like I said, somehow along the way, wealthy white people came into the picture and just sucked all their skills away. No, Bruno, I'll get food today.
Yeah, you don't need to hunt.
You just relax.
You just relax and be cute.
Yeah, bring the children happiness. Oh, I was going to eat these motherfuckers, but since you're working.
Would you like something else?
Yeah. Yeah, so they took all their survival skills away today to where they practically kill themselves. They're so dumb. Yeah. I mean, they can't even. When I talk about survival skills, I'm talking about, you know, like the basic instincts.
Sure.
You know, I didn't know survival skills meant don't eat rocks.
You know what I mean? No, it's like the Tide Pod Challenge. Like life is mapped out for you. Everything is easy. So you got to do something that threatens your life just to get a kick.
I would feel much better if that dog ate the rocks and then put it on YouTube. If he did a rock challenge.
The dumb man, I feel like that's what he was doing.
The dumb dog rock challenge. If he put that shit on YouTube, I was like, at least you did something. At least I could probably get my money back from taking you to the vet by putting up the shit. You know, I could get some views on it. But yeah. And then we took it to, yeah, we have just made these dogs, because a dog don't do a fucking thing. I just realized this. You don't really, dogs are cute until they get sick. And then you realize just how useless they are, especially eating rocks. Well, I'll do something. I'll clear the rocks out the office.
You wanted me to work, right?
Yeah, doing landscaping. I don't want you to kill yourself. Yeah, dogs don't do a fucking thing. And you know, and don't get me wrong, it's even worse because I was saying this earlier, at least some dogs out there work, man. Yeah. Some dogs even just, they earn money just by going and just sitting with a hipster. Wearing a fucking service vest. That's it. Are a comfort dog. I'm a comfort dog. What sure. Do you, what does that involve? No, I'm just sitting my ass down.
I just have to be here.
Yeah? Just sitting here.
Whenever this motherfucker's about to freak out, I have to be there. Let him rub me and everything's cool.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's going to shoot up a school. So.
Yeah.
So I provide a service.
Yeah, I'm a comfort animal. What does that mean? Oh, that means that this bitch is just lying. She just bought a vest and just said I keep her from having epilepsy that she doesn't have.
I get to fly for free.
Yeah. I help her cancer that does not exist and feel better or some shit. I don't know. Which just means I get to come in a restaurant with her. You know, some dogs they even have easy jobs, man. Yeah. Our dogs are just fucking useless. Like I said, even my littlest one at least got, she would last longer than this other dog, man. Mojo would be out on the streets today. Like Pixie, was my little one, was out on the streets. People would take one look at her and be like, oh my God, her eyes.
Yeah.
And they would snatch her right up. People would look at Mojo and be like, look at this dumbass eating rocks. Leave his ass there. Looking like Gator. Yeah, man. So I had to spend
Mojo,
seven.
Are you okay? Oh, quit. Them rocks got me.
I'm thinking about really.
I think I got some bad ones this time.
I'm thinking about really about like buying him real crack rocks. At least he'll like feel good afterwards instead of like walking around the house being miserable. And then we pay, you know, I had to pay the vet $75 to inject him. So the dog, it's funny because he was dehydrated, so they had to put some fluid in him. So this,
oh, he got an IV and everything?
Yeah, the dog came home. Seriously, the dog came home because they put fluid in him. And it looked normal at first, but by the time we got home, it looked like that motherfucker just hulked out.
They juiced him.
He juiced, yeah. They gave my dog steroids, man. That motherfucker. Like, he had biceps when he had pets. He looked like that goddamn kangaroo with the fucking. Yeah, man. And my head sitting in the middle of the room looking like a goddamn bulldog now. I was like, wow. I mean, and the shit just happened on the way home. Like, right, he transformed.
Right.
Like that motherfucker trying to join the Avengers or some shit.
And now he's at home. He's like, all right, now I'm going to get out there and show those rocks the thing.
Yeah. Well, shit. Maybe you can chew them this time. Yeah, get this motherfucker some Flintstone vitamins or something. Shit. Now we got to go clear all the pebbles, not even rocks, the pebbles out the fucking yard, bro. Mm. I don't know what's going on with this dog. It's a condition. And they say if your dog is eating rocks, it's probably a mental condition. So
No. I read stuff like that. Like when they chew parts of themselves that they never let it heal. And they'll say because they're either nervous or they're bored or some kind of weird
shit. Yeah, I don't know what this dog has a need for. That like well, I looked at all of them. They say it could be boredom. It could be loneliness.
Yeah.
And the last one was because we checked all of it. Like, no, this dog is not lonely. This dog is not bored. This dog is loved. This dog is provided for. The last choice was, your dog is just fucking crazy. And that, they really did say that. It's like they have dog. There's some
doggy Prozac.
There's a certain condition that dogs have to where they eat everything but food. They have a preference for anything that is not normal to eat.
Yeah, I mean, you might have to put them on the dog Prozac.
What's that?
It's an antidepressant for dogs.
Really?
Yeah.
So I have a bipolar dog?
You might.
Shit, I'm about to get that motherfucker a straitjacket and take him to the nut house. Shit, I mean, come on. I don't want no crazy dog up in the house. That motherfucker might get the knife out one day and be like Michael Myers.
A condition where they eat everything except food?
I'm not lying, man. Oh, they have God. A condition where dogs, they do, I don't know why. They like they don't want to eat normal food that's in front of them.
That's a dog who's been too domesticated.
Yeah.
Because any dog that's just roaming around the neighborhood knows they got to get food wherever they can get it.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, there's people like that. Yeah. You know, shit. I saw a show. Y'all probably remember us talking about this. I saw a show where a woman would rather have, she'd rather have piss over a real drink.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So you know, there you go. I mean, they insanity runs through every species, I guess.
I mean, with that woman, you know, you would sit her down and go, why? And she'd give you a whole bunch of reasons. A dog's not going to give you reasons.
And look, they put that kangaroo up in the chat. Yeah, that's how Mojo came home looking.
What?
Yeah.
Say something again.
He looked, his arm, his front legs look just like that, man.
Damn, that kangaroo is jacked.
Yeah. Shit, Mojo was jacked.
Man, action figure.
Hell yeah. And Mojo looked at me like, motherfucker, I want to eat rocks. I eat rocks. I was like, give me your goddamn wallet. Yeah, man. I don't know what the fuck is going on with this dog, man.
Oh, yeah. Poor baby.
Yeah, man. So, but at least he was cool enough. He's like, you know what? I can't be here in the bedroom because we wonder why are you leaving the bedroom. You're like, because I don't want to vomit on the people that I love. Yeah. And that was, I'm gonna end it right. But that it was so funny because I look, you know, I let him out, and of course since he ate pebbles and rocks, I watched him trying to shit, and it was like boulders trying to come out. Like he was shitting the Herculoids and shit. Like, yeah.
The Herculoids. Yeah.
That's what you get, bitch. Yeah. When your turd is looking like Stonehenge, yeah, that's what you get. Anyway, like, yeah, you can see
Igu, him. The rock ape.
Yeah. He was, when he was doing it, you could see it too, like, fuck, this is a bad idea.
Oh, but they taste so good.
Yeah. And watch tomorrow on the show.
He'd be passing by and running pebbles like, not this time. All right, look, maybe a couple.
Yeah. Yeah, tomorrow watch. I'm gonna be on the show and talking about, you know, those rocks really weren't that bad. I tried them just to see what the big deal was. I mean, I can't sit right now. Dog, that's I feel bad laughing at it because that anus would hit the ground. What the fuck you expect? Eating rocks, bitch. Stupid ass. What the hell are you laughing about? You're going to eat pickles and shit. Shut up. Don't start with me, Mr. Coleman. We used to get along so well. Yeah, I've seen him eat grass. Yeah, and grass. I've seen him eat dirt, but fucking stones?
He's got to eat grass to get the rocks to pass through.
Yeah. Tell you what.
Just have to grow a garden in his stomach.
Problem with the dog, he ain't got a fucking job. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Soon as he gets better, he's going out. He's going to service somebody somehow.
He might need a task that he does.
Yeah. I'm going to find him a blind motherfucker real quick. Yeah, just walking, man. That's all you got to do. Just stop when you see something moving. That's all you got to do. How hard is it? Put this vest on. Just sit with a hipster. That's all you got to do.
What's the matter, boy? Is it a red light? Nah, I just found a bunch of rocks.
Yeah.
I got to stop and take a break.
Dog over there smoking rocks. Meanwhile, you hear, "Scar!" Oh, shit. You had one fucking job. I know, man. I was on that shit, though.
I'm going to do right next time, though.
I swear, man.
That's the last one.
Give me another chance, man. I want to bring up a friend of mine. Brigham Mayfield. Come on up, man, real quick, if you can. I want to bring Brigham Mayfield up here. Brigham is a dear friend of mine. Brigham, I grew up with. Let me go ahead and put the camera on you and focus you there, right there.
Look at there.
Look at that lens that you were talking about. That lens that you said is so nice. He, Brigham.
Look at that bokeh.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Some photography snob. That's some photography snob language for you.
Yeah,
there.
Now move up to hear some snob, videographer snob language. Talking to that mic right there.
Right there.
Yeah, right there. There you go. Like I said, this man, he's more of a photo guy than a video guy. Your wife does the video.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah, him and I. We grew up together, man. When you see, if you come to my house, and I'll show some pictures on the air too. In fact, when I show some pictures on the air, that's when you even got back in touch with me from Viking Hills Elementary.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
If you come to my house, you'll see from 7 years old up that up until about fifth grade, that you in every picture with me, man.
I think we were in every class.
Yeah, we were almost in every class together, man. Yeah. Wow. I mean, we got back together not too long ago, talked about the teachers that we wanted to kill back in the day.
Oh, man.
You know, yeah.
Miss Cooper.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even want to say her name, but you ain't me, you know.
I'll say it. The lady was mean. Mean.
Yeah, man, we had a teacher, man. I feel better about hearing it from you because she used to be extra hard. Mm. She was that black teacher that was extra hard on the black kids because she thought we were making the race look bad when we acted up.
Oh,
you knew that?
Yeah, her. She wasn't the worst about that though. There were others, but they weren't as mean.
Yeah, she would rub that. She would just make you feel mean. She'd make you feel shitty.
Y'all couldn't just not act up.
No, man, we were kids, man. We were being normal kids. You know, that's all. But
well,
she was
back in the day when they'd hit you for acting up, man.
Yeah.
Not like today.
No, you remember when you would, because people don't know, you go to the office, like 8 years old, you act up too crazy, they'll send your ass to the office to get.
We had a principal who would whip you on stage in front of everybody at lunch in sixth grade. You remember?
Okay, what the fuck did you do, man? Oh, in sixth grade.
In sixth grade.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. He made that
I liked him. Don't get me wrong, but he gave me licks on stage right in the middle of lunch.
He made that shit like a public execution.
But you didn't mess up.
No, Mr. Batts.
A good man.
Yeah,
he's
you know.
A good man.
Used to call me Crazy Joe.
Now you call me Batman. You know, here's the thing. I never
he was a good guy.
He was. And I'm going to tell you something. There's probably a couple of times I should have got licks. That's what they call it, licks. There's probably a couple of times I should have, but.
You're his cousin?
I was his cousin. Yeah.
Wait, you're actually his cousin?
I was actually his cousin.
Oh,
yeah, I remember I went to the office one time. Teacher said, this kid right here, like, oh, he just being a kid. He all right. Go on back to class, boy. You going to be good, right? I was like, yes, sir.
I was not his cousin. That's the damn truth.
Yeah. Yeah, you shade lighter than he was.
He had two paddles. He had lightning and thunder. And he'd let you pick which one.
Jesus Christ.
You better hope it wasn't a storm that day.
Do I get to pick the paddle? Nah, I'm using both of these.
Yep.
Nah, man.
One was yellow, one was blue.
Was
was there a difference? Like, did lightning have holes drilled in it to cut down
holes?
On wind resistance?
Right,
on
lightning,
yeah. Yeah, man. They used to whoop your ass back in the day.
He didn't really whoop you, though. It was all about just the whole terrifying you as a child.
Of course.
To not act up.
Oh, no. I had some teachers that hurt my ass.
I feel like he had to use it at least once or twice to make sure
stung. It stung.
Yeah, to make an example of somebody.
But honestly, I would have taken it over going home and getting it.
That's true. No, you want to take it as long as a mama, a dad, especially daddy. But you want pops to find out.
Mr. Weldon asked me once, he's like, you want me to call your mom or give you licks? And I'm like, come on with the licks.
Lick me as much as you want to.
Right now.
I'm your ice cream cone right now. Yeah,
that's
man.
Nice y'all
don't
got
call
a,
my mama.
It's nice y'all got a choice because we get it at school and then a phone call
get
with
home,
get home. Yeah.
Oh,
it's the worst.
Yeah, man.
No, you don't want that.
No. You ever get one where the teacher just lied and said, you know what? I'm going to whip you, but I ain't going to tell your parents. You got home and your parents are like, what the fuck did you do? But he said.
Do you remember Madison Goldfein?
Yes.
So one day I'm sitting in class talking to him and I said, this was the phrase. The F word.
Oh, shit.
I didn't say fuck. I said the
Oh, you didn't even say the word?
That's right. I said the sentence, the F word. And he raised his hand and told the teacher. Brigham just said the F word.
Oh. And he wasn't lying.
Oh. And they sent me up to the office, and my parents are strict.
Oh, yeah. Mormon, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Mr. Weldon,
you don't get that name Brigham for nothing.
Oh, you don't come by Brigham easy. And he said, I'm going to have to call your mom and tell her you said the F word. I said, I didn't say the F word. He said, what'd you say? I said the F word. And he still didn't understand it. He's like, well, I'm going to have to do something.
No, you don't.
Like, yeah, he didn't understand. He still didn't understand. It didn't matter how many times I explained it. Nobody believed that I just said the sentence.
I didn't say the F word. I said F word. Well, you just admitted it.
And I got licks right behind it.
Oh, man.
I did three licks, but he didn't call my mama. Thank God. Because if my mom had thought I'd said the F word, I might not have been back at school the next day.
Yeah, so, man.
I don't think my mom would have hurt me.
No, nah, your mom. I know your
parents,
man. My
mom's
super
sweet. Don't get me wrong. My mom's right. But,
yeah.
But they would spank you.
No, they would. They put your ass in line.
My mom
man.
Was sweet, too, but she'd beat my ass.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I didn't want my father to hear about it. But my mother, I didn't want my mother to hear about it because my mother would cuss your ass out hard. Just to make you, she would make you cry.
Irma, that church-going Irma would cuss you out.
See, I can't see that. I know your mom is.
Man,
a cuss word coming out of your mama's mouth sounds crazy.
My mother cussed my ass out when I was eight. When I was 8 years old, she cussed me out like I was a grown man.
I have to see it. I don't believe it. I'd have to see it.
See, you know what? And that's how she gets you, man.
She might got me.
She's so nice today. She got everybody fooled, but no, man. She cussed my ass out for cussing one time. I remember this.
She almost buy that.
No, she did, man.
What'd she say?
Almost buy that.
No, because I remember who told on me. My friend Teddy Eichhardt. If I ever get him up in
your
here.
Your mama strikes me like one of them ladies that says damn is the worst word to ever come out of your mom's mouth. Like, if your mom said damn, I'd turn around and be like, what?
No, man.
His mama said, what?
And she still does this today. Nope. She still uses certain words, but she uses them around me.
Right.
And she don't let anybody else hear it. We'll be watching TV or something.
I think you're telling a story.
I'm not telling a story. My mother, look, my mother's very nice.
Yep.
Like in front of everybody,
she's sweet.
She's in front of everyone. She's adopted her white voice for everybody.
It's kind of
semi permanently now in front of everyone.
That's racist.
She's like, oh, I thank you for being Corey's friend. You are so nice, and you are welcome home in my time, in my house anytime. And when she leave, I swear to God, when she's gone or when I leave with my friend, she's like, who's the nigga that brought up in my goddamn house, huh? I'm not lying about this. She's phony as fuck.
No,
I'm telling you.
No, I don't buy it.
I'm telling you.
She's good at it, though.
Of course. I mean, and she'll do that shit too, like in front of people's faces. She's like, oh, hey, how are you? No, please make yourself at home. Corey, let me show you something real quick. Come on back here. Who the fuck is this you done brought in my house? I don't know this person. Look, I tell him he's welcome, but you can get him out of here. Ain't my problem. I'm like, fuck you want me to
after
do?
Everything you just said to them, how am I supposed to go back and tell them this?
Yeah. See, I love my mother, but she's phony as fuck, man. I'm letting you know right now. And if I ever come out and have to say, hey, man, you know what? I just heard that my sister's coming. We might have to do, you know, find some other arrangement. It's my mother just, we got room. My mother just is in a mood after 48 hours.
Oh, that's right.
And she don't know yet. She's in a certain kind of mood. She's got some problems. She's a lovely woman. She's great. She's a saint. She's a, you know.
She is. She's a good woman.
No, she's an excellent woman. But
yeah, I ain't gonna say a bad thing about your mom. You can't convince me.
No, and you know what? Because you don't see that side of it. That's cool. She'll tell lies about how she beat my ass when I was younger, and she'll tell lies talking about. Oh, I remember when he did this.
Corey was so sweet. Cute. He never gave us any trouble.
Yeah, it was so adorable. I couldn't even whoop him. You beat the fuck out of me. What the hell you talking about?
I said I couldn't whoop him.
I didn't hit him. I just choked the shit out of him. This guy right here, man, we saw big movies together, the Return of the Jedi.
We did. We saw Jedi the first time together, and then we saw Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom, yeah man.
That was too epic.
Great summer that was going on that summer, man.
84, I think.
84, man, yeah. The Richland Mall, that movie of House on the Hill,
love
man.
That place.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Tell you, while we going, now, I'll tell you, Brigham did something for me. That I'll cherish
know,
because
I gotta know what that is.
Well, because man, you did something for me, and I always cherish this because nobody has ever been able to do this for me. I don't think they ever will. Brigham was the one that actually took me back to 1873. You know, he actually. Brigham is the one that actually created time travel, man.
No wait, ain't that your great 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 uncle Erasmus Coleman?
No, that's that picture that people look at and they say that time travel is real because they'll look at it and be like, well, you could tell this dude was a slave, but he's wearing a modern jacket.
Members only.
Members only jacket.
It started way back then.
Yeah.
In the 1800s.
Yeah. I'm the first black man to actually create interracial relationships.
Oh, your ass is going to get lynched.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Man, yeah, he's the one. So y'all have seen the photos, man. We put them out there. If they're on Facebook, go to the site and watch the videos. Scrub the internet. But y'all were laughing about that slave picture I took. And that's the one right there. It's a great process, and I really love doing it, man. Yeah, you to do that. It was a process where you used glass.
Yeah, we make that. It's a wet plate. It's the same way they did it in the 1850s for the most part. We use studio strobes, and it's kind of a little more modernized to make it a little easier in the studio. But the actual plates are done exactly the same way. It's really cool. It's all silver and glass.
Yeah,
because that looks like you had to pose, and they use flash powder.
It does do a puff.
I got to tell you, it's really a powerful burst of light. You can feel the heat come off. You could feel it, couldn't you?
Yeah, we were burning up in there, man. It's first of all, it's a big ass camera that's in there, and it looks like those kaleidoscope cameras. You know, the ones that they go in and out. You know, like the accordion style.
He's
got like a couple of those in his studio. So there's that. And then he has to do the thing like old time photography where you cover up?
You the cloth over your head, focusing it, and the whole thing. And it's really fun. It's like I said, it's the way they did it when they first invented photography.
And then here's the real kicker of it, man. So after all this, the extensive process, he takes Everclear, right? Alcohol, and that's how you actually like drinking alcohol, and you. You rub it over the photos to do what?
That's all Everclear is actually good for.
Yeah.
We use it in everything photographic, we use that for.
But, yeah, if you can use
it. No, it's actually the Everclear is the grain alcohols in almost every part of that chemistry has grain alcohol.
Now, do you hear what you just said? If a photographer is using something as chemicals, it's not meant to be drank.
Right. It's a solvent
by the human body. Yeah.
No. When I buy gallons of Everclear, it's strictly for use in pictures.
Yeah.
That's what I tell them.
It's a great process, though, man. Actually, after I took this, shit, you're right, man. I took this and I'm like, shit, I'm about to get lynched for this.
Yeah.
I got nervous.
Luckily, you don't have to be nervous anymore.
It actually does make me a little nervous to look at that picture. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. It looks like something I shouldn't be doing, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking like this man is either brave or just stupid.
stop. Like you were you you were a great figure in civil rights. And
how am I the only one that feels like that's not right?
I know.
First man to actually marry a black woman and started your own farm, and then 2 years later the KKK came and burned it down and hung both.
It was like we did this shit in secret.
Yeah.
And she got away, but they found it and they're like, what's this boy?
She made me do it.
This nigger that's raped a, you? What? My?
Look,
I mean,
that is a
good looking
couple right there.
No, it is. It is.
And
man.
it's exactly the way it ought to be.
So, no, man. No.
No, exactly I love that how focused it is around your face, but then unfocused it just at the back of your head.
Oh, it gets real soft, just real soft, real fast, and that's at large format. It just gives it a whole different look. It's really a lot of fun. I tell people to come do one all the time. Of course, I'm selling them. So.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you doing this for us, man.
Out of curiosity, how much would something like that run for?
Well, you can do one for as little as $50.
Talking to Mike, right?
You can do one for as little as $50. We do 4x5s. It takes about 30 minutes to do one. It's really kind of fun, but it's very one-off. What's really cool about it is because it is such a it's one shot. And it's processed and it's done, and there's no. It's the only one of its kind.
Somebody said this reminds them of Han and Leia. Well,
it
kind of
does have that Han and Leia feel with the jacket.
Oh, because you look like you're frozen in carbonite.
Yeah.
Or carbonite.
Which one is it? Han Solo was wearing was that?
Yeah,
man. That jacket. That's awesome.
So, are you doing this out of Waco or are you here in Austin?
Yeah, I do them out of my studio in Waco right now, but we can do them on location too, and we take it out. We go out. We have to take a dark room with us because it has to all be done at the same time.
Okay.
So I literally will pour a plate and put it in the camera, and while it's still wet, we have to develop it. So we have to shoot it, develop it, all while it's still wet. It's really a cool process. One day I'll put together a video about it.
Y'all saying this is like Han and Leia. This is this is the photo that Han Solo finds when he's at Lando's house.
It's Lando and Leia.
What the fuck is this? Oh, man. We were just friends, man. Come on.
Y'all know it went down.
Of course.
Yeah. He got her that dress.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Before I say, he let his picture makes him look nervous, like I'm about to be lynched. Well, if you do it, hang me with a rope made out of shirts from DTMerch.com. Transition. You know, yes, transition right there. You know, I don't mind going out with that classic black tee with the white logo around my neck. Oh, we got the hoodies over here. Let me bring the attention to the Kung Fu TJ shirt. You know, this is the shirt that's for the month of February. Now, I got to actually get the – I got to let you guys know about Fernando. He's the one that did this shirt. I'm going to actually start starting tomorrow. I'm going to start putting up his portfolio so you can see it. The guy does great art, and he does commissions, I believe, too. So you can definitely go over there and check out his stuff when we start posting it. And we're very happy to have his shirt in our store. As well as another thing we're very proud of is that stew pot right there that people are ordering in abundance and finding out that they're not getting what they're paying for. The shirts for the little crumbs out there. Of course, we got the phone covers. Keep your phone warm this Christmas. And we also have right here the gift of choice with the gift certificates. And now that you are decked out in all your Toasty gear, become an official Toasty by supporting us at DoubleToasted.com. You know that's how we get by, mainly with your subscriptions and your support. So please, even if you're not subscribing for yourself, do it for somebody out there who are not fortunate enough to have that Toasty goodness all over their body. And you can try that out 7 days for free. If you don't like it, you can stop anytime. Keep the audio. It's free everywhere. iTunes, SoundCloud. And when you do decide to come back, we've made it so much easier for you to get that Toasty goodness. And let me see here. Oh, I want to remind you guys also about, let me go over here. You know, we got a couple of things coming up. I'm just about to seal the deal on Toronto. There are some things that changed that weren't the deal.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Man, I thought Chicago was bad. Now these Canadians too?
Yeah, I might have to find another venue. I'm trying to work with this one because a person is putting a lot of hard work trying to get it for me. But I might have to change. But we still have the cruise coming up. Double Toasted Anniversary Cruise, August 15th to the 19th. DT hits the water for our 5th anniversary, and we want you there. And that'll be 4 days aboard the Forever Fun Carnival Dream, departure from Galveston to Cozumel, Mexico. Packages start at $558.
You can get that balcony cabin, though, for $746. You might be trying to impress some young honey or something. All food, entertainment, accommodations, taxes, and fees are included. Price also includes the Double Toasted live show. Cruise includes activities for the kids and the teens, so bring the whole family. Payments are refundable until June 14th of 2019. Contact Dina Campbell Harris, 904-716-2321. Her email address, dinaharristravel@bellsouth.net. That is dinaharristravel@bellsouth.net. Go ahead, give her a ring, shoot her an email, and join us on the water this summer. Get in the fucking water. Oh, Corey, what about playlists? Yeah. You know what? If you guys want to do a get together for playlists, you know, we're going to be in Orlando for Playlist Live, the YouTube convention that.
When is that?
That is 22nd, I think.
Of March?
No, that's next week.
Oh.
That's wow. On 22nd of February.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. That's the most uncomfortable convention we've ever been to.
Oh, how? Okay. So you'll be out of town that weekend?
Mm-hmm.
So will I.
Okay, well, I guess no show then.
Yeah, that works out.
Sammy gonna come here and just like ravish the place.
Oh, is he not going with you?
No, I kicked him off.
Oh.
No, he's coming. Okay.
I never know.
No, of course he's
y'all don't
coming.
Tell me anything. Yeah. Yeah, Felix will be here.
Yeah, I know.
He can do a show.
Let's see what we got here. So we'll find out about the Playlist Live. We'll let you guys know because that is something that we still have to plan for. If you guys want to have a get-together, I would love to have a get-together, get away from all these underage girls over in that convention center. It's the most – it really is. I don't even know why they let man up in there. It just that's just a trap. That's all it is.
Cases on all of y'all.
Yeah, they just they bring in people that just attempt them to see who's the pedophile out the group. Because if you know, because you feel like me, then you know that you're normal. Because it's like I just don't feel right being here. I'm having fun with the people I'm here with, but this is just unless I'm working security or something. I don't feel like I need to be riding the bus going to parties with fucking 12-year-old girls in ass hugger shorts and shit. I don't even know if parents let that happen.
Man, it's a test. They just walk around going like, hey, you having a good time? Not really. Good answer.
Oh, yeah.
You having a good time? Yeah, man, it's just cool. Yeah, all right, come with us.
Oh, I think they got like cameras that can just read the fucking the heat coming off your ass. Oh, this motherfucker's way too aroused. Right?
Yeah, you staring too long. Come on, man.
Yeah. Nah, man. All right. But we're going to be there. We usually have a get together. So we'll try to get that. If you guys really want that, we had fun with y'all last time. So we just got to figure it out. I guess I get to get started on that tomorrow. Figure out where we need to go. I just the problem is you just go to bars and you know because we don't want to make a big event out of it, but we don't want to. So we don't want to plan too much, make it too formal. But then you know people want to hang out and we end up with more people than we thought. And we go to a bar and the bars are like, oh, what the fuck is this, man? You know,
well, we don't want all this money.
Yeah, there's always somebody who's underage. There's always somebody who's of age but forgot their ID. You know,
people. Never leave the house without your ID.
Yeah, so we got to, you know, we got to figure out something. I don't know. I haven't even thought about it, but we will. All right. Brigham, can I change seats with this girl over here, Denise?
Yes, sir.
Hey, real quick, just because I just hoping Brigham could plug his business.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I can plug my business anytime.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that, but of course.
Plug it. You can find me on Instagram at mayfield.fine.photography, or you can go to my website at buythemayfields.com.
Let me see. I'll go to your website right now.
Go to my website. Yes, sir.
What is the website?
Buythemayfields.com.
Buythemayfields.com.
Because I think I want one of those portraits.
Yeah, I'd love to make you one.
By the Mayfields. Yoo-hoo. There we go.
Jesus. That's a deep cut, my friend.
Me and my wife are both photographers, so it's plural by the Mayfields.
And I got it right here.
Look at there. I can see my son right there. I don't take pictures of anybody but my own family, really. It's all. That's my young one.
That's the Waco Bridge. There you go. By the Mayfields.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
We don't put up any of the bad stuff. So.
I see you got Laura from Little House on the Prairie over here. You went back in time. That's your daughter, right?
That's actually over in Zilker, too, where the little
really?
keyhole right there is. That's my daughter right there in the black and white tintype.
That looks like one of those ghost portraits in a movie.
Yeah. It's very nice,
that's
man.
That's one of my daughters, too, the one with the little freckles.
So if you if you find yourself needing a photographer and you're in Texas and you're willing to travel.
Coming up on the spring, need some blue bonnet pictures of your family, just give us a call. We travel all over the state.
Very nice, man. Yeah, Brigham, Good to have you here,
Thank
Brigham.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Man. Thank you for the plug, too.
No, of course. I'm sorry, I forgot.
It looks like somebody's been gnawing on your microphone. So
where you may want
to talk to whoever's been chewing on this windsock over here.
Oh, right here? No, that'd be me. Oh, but I appreciate it, man. Thank you, sir. All right, let's go ahead and bring Denise up here. Denise, she's been hovering over me for the last 3 weeks. When am I going to watch a movie?
I want to watch a movie.
Yeah, I'm like, well, when you quit freaking me the fuck out, that's when you can watch a movie. Look at her. What is this a theme? Did you mean to dress up like a chick from the 70s right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. What? Why? What does this have to do with?
Because I'm feeling good and looking good.
Okay.
We're off to a good start.
We can see how this is gonna go. The movie we're talking about has nothing to do with the 70s whatsoever. But she wanted to feel good and look good, so she decided to do a little time traveling herself to talk about this film. And the movie that we're talking about is, and the reason why I thought it'd be appropriate to have you here, What Women Want. I'm sorry, What Man Want. That's the other film. What Man Want. And you, who always want man, I figured you would all...
Come on.
This would be perfect for you. And, you know, This is something that I think a lot of people want to enjoy, because with this movie right here, we got Tiffany Haddish. I'm already fucking up. I'm sorry. We got the less annoying Tiffany Haddish. We got Taraji P. Henson. So when Tiffany Haddish is getting your nerves, fortunately, Taraji P. Henson, she got the comedic chops to come out and at least do it for a movie. She doesn't really do stand up, but for a movie, she can pull it off. And in this film, she's a sports agent, and she's bringing in the numbers. Yeah, she's bringing in the numbers. She's doing what she needs to do for her job. She's doing better than probably most, if not all, of the men at this agency. But of course, since she's not only a woman but a black woman, they say, well, you know something, you're just not one of the guys. You can't talk the locker room talk like we do. You know, if we say certain things in front of you, you might get offended and just bring the whole thing down. So, you know, we don't want to. We got a thing that we like to do here, and we like to keep that tradition going, and you're just going to kind of buck that if we let you get a promotion. Now,
and she has to stay in her lane.
And stay in her lane. That's what women love to hear today. Now, fortunately, she drinks some sort of concoction of crack and peyote and goes out dancing and hits her in ecstasy. There you go. And hits her head, and all of a sudden, we don't know if it's the drugs. We don't know if it's the crack on the head. It might be both, but she wakes up and she can just hear what men are thinking. And what do you know, man? This is just what she needs, because if she can hear what men are thinking, that means she can be one step ahead of them and beat them at their own game. And forget about using this power to, like, save the world or, you know, make society better. No, she's like, I can finally get that promotion.
See, it's moments like these when you find out what people are all about.
Yeah. And that, you know what? And that's the thing about it. She is greedy. She is self-centered. And hopefully, since she's just out for herself, maybe these powers that she has, you know, besides the promotion, maybe they'll make her be a better person. Maybe they'll actually improve her as a human being. Now, Denise, if you're going to be here, you're going to have to quit talking over me, all right? You got that? All right. A lot of people don't understand that. Now, here's where I got to pull a rank on everybody, because everybody telling me, man, I watched the show, and, man, when I was on, I was talking over you. So here's a rule. If you knew you were doing it, why the fuck you do it? So here's a rule right here. When daddy's talking, just be quiet. There you go. I didn't even have to say it that way, but I was thinking
she got it.
See, I told you she could read man's minds. Shut the fuck up.
Well, she had a little crack in ecstasy.
Yeah. Like she's got the power. Look at that. There it is. Hey, let's go ahead and take a look at the trailer for What Man Want, and we'll be back with our review.
Sweet new wheels. A little pre-celebration for the big day, huh?
I'm making partner, baby. Time to break that glass ceiling.
We all know who deserves this. Give it up for our Summit Worldwide Sports Management's newest partner. Whoa! Allie, that pass was actually to Eddie.
I'm so sick of this boys' club. Every day
is payday. You don't connect well with men.
Just stay in your lane.
I don't trust women who don't get dudes. Like I don't trust a man with no eyebrows and too many keys.
I know someone you should talk to.
I can help you connect with men. Why don't we have some tea?
This smells like dirt.
Oh, that's just jasmine tea. If you don't count the weed and the peyote and the crack.
Hello, welcome back, Miss Davis.
Thank God this one didn't die on me. Starting today, no more drinking at work.
Hey, that's too much information.
I didn't say anything.
I feel weird after last night.
Yeah, that's what happens when tequila meets desperation.
Okay, stop saying things you shouldn't be saying to your boss.
Holy crap, can you hear my inner thoughts?
I can't hear your inner thoughts! Oh, oh my God,
I can only hear men's thoughts.
That cloud you're walking through? That's my farts.
Yeah.
There was a psychic.
She gave me this tea.
And you drank it?
She said to.
I thought black people stopped drinking tea after Get Out.
Weren't you complaining about men trying to keep you down?
Do we have any?
That, no, that was a funny line. No, I saw it in the trailer, and it was even funny when I saw it on the big screen. So, you know, some things work.
Meetings on the books?
Nothing yet.
Except the private poker game tonight.
This is not a curse. This is a gift. You better think.
I should tap that ass.
Little lady, what you doing at the big boys' table, huh?
2 grand.
I'm bluffing these fools.
I'm missing Real Housewives.
Shaq finally has a winning hand. Why am I thinking in the third person?
I smell toast. Am I having a stroke? Wait, I have toast in my pocket. Whew.
Now, look, this ain't trying to be some big, deep, thought-provoking entertainment. We know that. This premise here, Martin, as you would know, Martin, we've been in this game for a long time.
We have.
We know that this premise ain't nothing new right here.
No.
You know, this is a goofy old-ass premise right here. It's been reworked many times. You know, it's what they call the old opposite swap. You know, it's been done. We've seen that. We've seen that with dogs and cats. We've seen that
a little bit of shell game going
shell
on.
Game going on. You know, we've seen it with like Freaky Friday. Mm-hmm. We've seen it with the movie that this is based on back in 2000, What Women Want.
What Women Think.
Let me get you a cab, sir.
Thank you, Flo.
You're welcome, my little sweet buns.
What did you say?
You know, this is I like this too, because this is back in the day when remember when everybody thought Mel Gibson was sane.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is pre-pack of niggas Mel Gibson.
That what she just said to him was just a twist on what he would later say to that female cop when he called her sugar.
Oh yeah,
tits.
Hey sugar tits. Yeah, like I said, back when we thought he wouldn't say shit like that.
Yeah.
When we found out that he was on ecstasy, peyote, and crack. That, you know, the Mel Gibson that loves to beat the shit out of Jesus. And, you know, this was the movie that is based off of Mel Gibson's What Women Want. Which, you know, I mean, I haven't seen it. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I saw when it came out.
Yeah, I loved it.
Okay, well, I heard it's a piece of shit. No, I actually heard, I didn't hear that, but I heard, like, it's not that great.
It's at least in my opinion, it's not. It looked like it was going to be something pretty funny, and it quickly established itself that, like, nah, it's actually not all that smart. And, yeah, the longer it went on, I was just like, man, so many missed opportunities with this thing.
See, that's what I heard about the movie. I heard that, you know what, this is a movie where it should have been making a statement about, you know, with the premise that it has, you know, this guy who's pretty much a playboy, kind of a chauvinist in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, this has been a good movie to, like, have fun with and also address the message of male dominance and chauvinism and, you know, male privilege.
Yeah.
But again, it just, like a lot of movies of this type, they go for the lowbrow, easy laughs.
Yeah.
Kind of like this movie. You know, <it's,
laughs> well, yeah, look at the trailers. Like, I'm pretty sure that's
Martin,
what it is.
It's one of those movies. I'm like, man, where was Tyler Perry? Because I'm thinking.
Oh, wow.
You know what? Because it just kind of. it's a movie that just kind of plays it safe for the laughs. Uh-huh. It really is concentrating on just getting some cheap laughs. And I'm thinking, you know what? If Tyler Perry had it, it probably wouldn't have been a good movie, but Tyler Perry would have made it weird.
That's true.
Tyler Perry, he would have pulled some shit like what he did with his own Taraji P. Henson movie. Acrimony?
Oh, let you in. I can do bad all by
myself. Oh, no. This movie right here. Like, if Tyler Perry had done this movie right here, this whole mind-reading thing, hearing people's thoughts, that would have been a subplot. Mm-hmm. It would have been something about some dude cheating on his woman, you know. And uh-huh. It would have been, you know, it would have been something about some dark-skinned black dude beating his wife. And then for laughs, that would have been the cousin who could, like, psychically read people's thoughts. You know, it just would have been something people were like, wait a minute, you got to explain it. Because that's what he did with Acrimony. Acrimony is about a woman who's scorned by her, who feels scorned by her husband to the point where she actually goes crazy and she's in the wrong. But meanwhile, we just gloss over the fact that this is really science fiction. Uh-huh. Her husband has built like this machine that has unlimited energy harnessing power, and we don't talk about that. No, let's talk about how angry this chick is right now.
Okay, he's the black Tony Stark.
Yeah, exactly. But no. Let's not talk about that. Let's get this BET soap opera shit. Meanwhile, we got the Marvel shit going on over here. But you know. Because that's what we're doing here, man. You know, with this film, I feel like you said about what we had with what women want.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that has potential, man. Especially if you, I mean, look, this is the perfect time.
I know.
It's
the hashtag generation.
Me too. Don't grab my ass, whatever the other movement. Time's up. Yeah. Women empowerment. Man, we are in an era right now of the almost an evolution, the next stage of women's rights. Mm-hmm. And this totally. How the fuck do you ignore that, man?
You know, there was no ass grabbing in this movie at all. With all the men that was in there.
Because you know why? Because they were thinking about it. You know, that's it.
I mean, with all the sports icons in there and all the men sports agents and stuff, you figured there'd be some, like, high fives and pats and stuff. There's none of
that. Ass grabbing? Well, I mean, you will go to jail for shit like that these days. So, you know, I can see why they didn't do that. I mean, that would kind of defeat the purpose of what I'm even saying. Hey, black mama. Ooga!
Yeah, I just figured she got those powers within a couple of hours of being able to read men's minds. She'd be like, no, turn this shit off. I can't take it.
No, man, you know, this is the time to actually do that. But this goes for, like I said, it goes for lowbrow comedy over insightfulness. In the trailer, they had one scene in there. A reaction to the way she's hearing people's thoughts. Uh-huh. Her reaction pretty much spells out the whole tone of the film.
I can hear your inner thoughts.
You know, that's it. That's the tone of the movie. I have the power to heal man's thoughts. Everything is girl. She hears. You know, it's
I want you to replay that scene just like you did, except louder.
Yeah, it's just it's all,
okay,
the movie.
Cut, sorry, yeah, louder than that.
This is the cinematic version of mugging.
Yeah,
mugging for the camera. When you really had, when you had something to say right there, nah, but you're going for the easy shit.
Is her assistant gay?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, he is.
Boy, they just could not pass up that cliche.
No,
they could not, man. They could not, and you know, and that's the problem with the film. I mean, it goes for, sometimes it's just loud.
Yeah.
I mean, and the reason why for me that's a bad thing. Like, I have nothing against comedies that are loud. I have nothing against comedies that are broad. I have nothing against comedies that are goofy and goes for, you know, low hanging fruit jokes. I mean, you know, I'm not expecting everything out there to be high intellectual,
sure,
you know, material. But, you know, at least allow your shit to go somewhere. Because this movie, it you can see where in certain things is actually trying to do something. It's trying to go somewhere, but it just don't know where it's going. So when they don't know where to go, they just start yelling.
They just crank up the volume.
They just get louder. Yeah.
It's a lot of yelling.
Yeah. It's like the movie just don't know where to go. And it just, can, I mean, you can, you think I'm lying? You can see it in certain scenes that they even provided for us, man. When they don't know what else to do, get loud, yell out a bunch of sex jokes, and go for easy laughs.
The bride and groom have written their own vows.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I have something I gotta say. What are you doing?
No, you don't.
I've been given a gift. I can hear men's thoughts.
Right now.
Because of my gift. James, I know you are not worthy of my friend Mari.
What are you talking about?
He slept with your cousin Gabby last May.
That never happened. That never, never happened.
I am so sorry, Mari. He said you were on a break.
Everybody lying right now.
Mari!
You see how the, do you see what I'm talking about? You see how it started out kind of funny?
Yeah, yeah.
Like there was potential to take that somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't know what the fuck to do, so just start throwing stuff and just you know, just turn into chaos because
it turned into a Jerry Springer show.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. There you go. So you kind of agree with me on this thing?
Yes.
Elaborate, girl.
It turned into Jerry Springer. It turned into like a total chaos. There was dick sucking jokes. There was, can I say that?
You just did. Yeah,
I mean, we could say no. Right now, but,
I mean, let me get my Brigham. Let me get that time machine. Yeah, so we can go back and have her not say that. I mean, that shit, you can read my mind. You would have heard me say no. I like the way you thought about it too. Should I say you like there's dick sucking jokes?
There was hair pulling. There was like, it was almost as chairs being thrown around. There was an urn being thrown around. It was like,
is that just that scene or through the entire movie?
That's just that scene.
That's just that scene.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah, man. You know, and the jokes that they do actually bother to see through sometimes are not that funny, man. There's, and not to say that that's not for the whole movie, but a big problem with the humor here is that some of it just doesn't need to be there. Some of it is awkwardly just forced into the film. Because there are scenes, man, that just stop for jokes that break the flow of the film. It's like they thought that it was almost like the director thought that a joke was so funny that we just got to have it. That bit of ad-libbing was so funny. Oh, this person did that thing so funny. And the movie would just stop to just have that joke told in reference or to nothing, doesn't add to the flow of anything. Actually, it's kind of jarring because I mean, in addition to making the movie longer, it just ruins the momentum of what they have going on here. It's a distraction to the main storyline. Yeah. There are so many things that are pulling at this main storyline. This poor movie, this poor message they have in this movie, this poor story, it's trying, man. And these jokes and humor and everything.
Me.
Yeah. And they're just picking this poor story apart like buzzards, man.
Damn.
And, yeah, and you know, and some of the jokes that they have, even if they kind of fit within the movie, they don't know when to stop. They, you know, again, it's one of those movies where the actor or the comedian is ad-libbing, and the director's sitting behind the camera. Now, this is what it feels like. I wasn't there, so I don't know, but the director's behind the camera just laughing.
That be cruises. Tracy Morgan doing the ad-libbing?
That would be your boy Tracy Morgan.
Yeah.
I got jokes for days. Just say cut because I'm gonna keep going. You know, they got a joke in here where it's a mild joke to begin with. It's not all that. It's not like a gut busting laugh. And they just keep going and going. It's like, man, I get the point. You can stick. Somebody gonna yell cut because if you're not, I am.
This boy's body is a Shindo shrine. Okay, every breakfast he ever has is made with my patent smoothie.
Oh, man, not the smoothie, Rand.
You talking about kale, chia seed, coconut juice, avocados. You know how many avocados is in this boy's body? Look at his legs. On top of that, fish oils, mega nines, sometimes fives and sixes.
Oh, man.
Depends on whatever. Mm-hmm. Pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, some pistachio.
Yeah, all right, nigga, I get it. There's a lot of shit in that smoothie. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Although it was nice seeing Tracy Morgan again.
Oh, well, I've seen him in stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, but I
like the way more like, yeah, you know, yeah, I've seen him. Now he needs to go home. You know, no, it's good to see Tracy. No, I'm glad Tracy Morgan's working. I love Tracy Morgan. He's very funny.
Yeah.
But
that scene was kind
of
long.
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of these people are funny. I'm not talking about anybody's talent here. I'm not, a lot of these things. Listen, it's like what we say all the time. Martin says it. You know, I say it. There are a lot of things in these movies where the director just needs to know how to tell these people to stop or know how to edit it down. And this is speaking from my experience, because I'm sure the audiences that see it, they laugh too. I just get the feeling that the joke is kind of belabored when you let it keep going like that. And I get the feeling that it really is like the director and the crew and the editor. They're sitting in the room laughing at it and they're like, yeah, just keep going. Yeah.
This is funny, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Nothing against Tracy Morgan. Like I say, Taraji P. Henson, man, she's actually a great comedic actress, man. Especially when a lot of people have associated her more with drama, which she also can do.
Right.
She's a very talented woman. Not very strong material on things she's working with here, though. Mm. What am I thinking?
I love her from like Person of Interest. I know her back from her TV shows.
Yeah. So how do you feel about her here?
I liked her. I also agree that she didn't have a lot of material to work with. I thought she was funny. Some of the jokes fell flat. Some of it was laugh out loud funny. And some like the sex scenes, I was just kind of like, whoa.
I like the way you just talked about oral sex and just threw it out there. You're like, but them sex scenes, whoa. I can't deal with all that.
No,
are they explicit?
No.
No. No, it was just... They weren't explicit. They were just like, you don't see any body parts or anything. They're just like over this.
Can I tell you one thing?
What about the sex scene that you say?
Let me tell you.
It's a lot of facial expressions.
It's goofy. And another thing that's wrong with it is, and I don't have any clips of it here, but there are sex scenes where this is one thing that bothers me. You in a rated R movie. You're saying all kind of nasty things and using all kind of expletives but when you're having sex, for some reason the bra stays on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't even care. You don't have to show me no nipples.
Right. But
Taraji P. Henson is fine enough. I would appreciate them. But you know, it's like, man.
But you're like, who's having sex like this?
Yeah. Nobody has sex like this, man.
Who? Did you say Wookiees?
Quickies.
Okay.
And Wookiees too. Notice, Martin, they don't put on bras until they actually have sex. That's the Wookiee tradition. That's the Wookiee tradition, man. If you watch the Star Wars Christmas special, the deleted sex scene. Now, you see why I actually said, no, let me explain. You see why?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I said, Martin, what are you doing, man? And you know what else is funny about this is that they
is rated R.
They said motherfucker and all kind of things. Yeah. And Denise, you said they make all kind of dick sucking jokes, and now you're shocked that this is rated R. Let me ask you a question. Where do you disappear to when you go to these movies? What dimension do you go to? I think you actually did go to the 70s when you watched this movie.
I have a large popcorn and a drink, and I'm gonna just sit here and eat it in the lobby while the movie plays.
One for what men want, and then she goes to the Lego movie. It seems so awkward, all those bricks pounding on each other. But
that was rated R.
More pounding in there probably than in this movie.
You know, Tracy Morgan, it's funny how they put him on the poster too with her, like he's the leading man. He's really a side character.
Yeah, I could tell that.
Yeah, yeah. They have him on the poster like he's the one that's actually going to be ending up with her at the end of the film. It's like, no, you know, he has a bigger name than the actual leading man in the movie. That's why they put him there. But he's funny. He's actually funny in the film.
Pistachios.
Yeah.
Avocado.
I love this boy right here. I'll make breakfast for him, man. Shut the fuck up.
Smoothies.
I can understand the director, what he's trying to do here doesn't really work. But what he's trying to do here is that I respect that he's trying to give his side characters something to do in the film. Mm-hmm. Because, the side characters, they're not that much, they don't lend anything to the movie. They're really just there to give funny expressions to Taraji P. Henson whenever she does something. For one, again, it's one of those movies where all three of her friends, they're together all the time. You know, they don't, none of them go out by themselves. They're always this group.
Uh-huh.
They're always there to make faces when she does something. Or because the two black women, they ain't got no personality at all. None. They lit nothing in this movie. Now, who's that?
Wendy McClendon Covey.
Yeah. Her only big trait, she's a big Christian. She found God. So everything, she keeps coming in and says, oh, praise the Lord. And Jesus does this. And, oh, Jesus approves of that position in sex. You know, it's a cheap-ass joke, man. Yeah, they're really there just to actually, you know, give reaction shots. So I understand him trying to give these characters something to do, but these characters don't have anything to do. So when you give them jokes, those jokes pop out of nowhere because they weren't really a big part of the story in the first place.
Gotcha.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's up?
There is a lot of athletes, though. So for the guys and for the women audience who are a lot of, like, athletic fans, they do have, like, the Boz is in there. And so, like, my neighbor who came with me, like, he was, like, really proud of him that he did a good role.
Brian Bosworth is actually really good in the movie.
When you said the Boz, I was like, I'm trying to figure out what? Brian Bosworth. Okay.
Brian Bosworth. Yeah, that's him, man. For a while.
He was a sportscaster for a while.
Yeah. He's good in the film.
Wait, didn't he make one of those action movies?
Yes. Yes, he did back in the 90s.
Yeah.
Some John Woo type thing or something. Yeah, so he's had a lot of experience with acting. I like him in the film. You know, and for a while, I thought he was, who's the dude?
Jeff Bridges?
I thought he was Jeff Bridges for a while. Well, when I was watching the trailer, man, and the man in the film, the man, you know, as far as going around reading their thoughts and hearing them, they just make man just dumb. Man, I mean,
so it's the Gillette commercial all over again.
No, it's the opposite of that. No, it's worse because you know, it's these guys here, man, the man here just dumb because you know, it's a miracle that we lead in anything.
Uh-huh.
If you go by this movie, because you know, going by this movie, man, they just what do they want? Man, just want, they want sex. They want food and they just want to fart every now and then. And once we've had our food, once we've had our sex, once we have farted, there ain't no substance up there at all. If we ain't thinking about those things, we just sitting around just, I wonder where I left my keys. That's it. Dogs got deeper thoughts than we do, man. Now there are exceptions to when guys are actually thinking something of substance here. They got the one scene, like, if guys are playing poker, you know, guys, their heads are totally into the game. You know, that's when guys are actually thinking of something remotely smart. Mm-hmm. Or if you're a teenage boy, like what's his name's son here, Tracy Morgan's. You know, if you're a teenage son, of course, you know, nobody wants to hear about what Junior's been jacking off to or anything. You know, we're not gonna get pervy with that. They keep his thoughts innocent. It's all I'm just thinking about basketball and my big dreams. You know, so
I wanna play on that court.
Yeah, I don't wanna play on the court. Yeah, you know, it's gay men are a little smarter because gay men always got some little smart ass comment ready to go. They always got something ready to go. But even the gay man think about sex all the time.
Well, yeah.
Josh Brenner plays her gay assistant, and he's having some flirt. I'm not even tell you who was with. And that's one of the things that does come as a surprise in the movie. But even the gay guys sit around and just think about sex. I mean, they just sit around talking about, I see that big dick bulging in your pants. You know, she actually hears thoughts like that. They even think about each other's nipples. Ooh, I can't wait to pinch those. You know, it's like, Jesus. Dudes are just horny, which they are.
Yeah. I don't hear how that's inaccurate.
No, it's not. But you know, I can say for the movie, don't do it. Don't dog us out like that.
I feel like that's the point of the movie, though. I can't really blame it for that.
Well, after you keep hearing the same thoughts over and over and over and over,
you stand
over
up, again. Look, goddammit.
Yeah, now look.
Shit. I have hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
I'm trying to accomplish some things in my life.
Shit, I was actually thinking about Shakespeare. Fucking another chick. but it was something artistic about that. No, man. But you know, maybe it's because it goes for the dumb humor, man. Maybe that's what I'm thinking about. You know, it would be different if the man thinking about sex all the time, if the guys were actually, you know, we were going to their dumb thoughts, if it was leading up to this whole thing about, you know, women in the workplace not given an equal opportunity.
Sure.
You know, but it's not working towards that.
Is that Erykah Badu?
That is Erykah Badu, man. I'm gonna tell you something. In addition to Taraji P. Henson, I'm not going to totally dog on this film, man. There are some things in here that I really do like. Taraji P. Henson is one. I actually like her gay assistant, Josh Brenner. I think
he's always good. I always like him.
Yeah, when they have scenes together, they're actually really good together, man, because they feel like they do have a real relationship going on. It feels like, you know, since she doesn't have to deal with a typical guy, it feels like they're authentic characters when they're together. Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, she dogs him out so much. It's like you actually feel for him.
Yeah.
A little bit.
That's something I was curious about, because I know they're painting the man as these corporate assholes. But is she one also?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, her biggest flaw is that, you know, while she's trying to get ahead, now I do something with the movie where she's trying to get ahead in this very male dominated environment, she's a problem too. Mm-hmm. You know, and the movie takes a lot of times to say that, look, not every guy in here is against you. Not every guy is trying to bring you down. There are actually some guys that have helped you. If you stop being a fucking bitch,
he calls her a dick.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, okay. It's
an important distinction.
Yeah, yes. No, they actually do a good job of not making this a pure message film.
Okay.
And Erykah Badu is funny, man. You know, I looked at this and I thought she was going to be annoying. She's actually hilarious in here, man. That character, she's in here just for a little bit, and every time she comes on, that character. It's so weird that it gets laughs, man. You know, first of all, just the look, man. You know, like a cross between a vampire and the Dark Crystal right now.
Right, right, right.
You know, she's actually very, and plus Erykah Badu is weird anyway.
Right.
So she just embraced this even more for this role. She was meant for this. She's actually very funny. And another person I liked in here is the love interest, which they don't give you a whole lot of credit for. Aldis Hodge, who you've seen him coming up. He's in Black Mirror. He was in Straight Outta Compton. Okay. Yeah, man. He plays the love interest in here, and he's cool because he's a single guy. Scenes with him and his 6-year-old son, they really are cute. They really are endearing. So cute that it almost ruins what they do at the end of this movie. I'm not going to say where it is, but you like this guy so much. And he's really good in the film too, man. They actually have some good scenes with him and Taraji P. Henson. He's a good leading man. He just haven't got a big name yet.
Yeah.
But this is also a romantic comedy. Taraji P. Henson does some shit to him that is unforgivable, man. I don't care. Because in a movie, a romantic comedy, you know the formula. The formula is that they get together, they have they have a bond. Then they have the argument, they break up, then they get back together. Ain't no way in hell somebody would get back together with the shit that she pulled. Mm. It was foul, man. It was just like, all right. I mean, well, it's not like she murdered somebody or anything, but it was like, nah, man, not the way you did me and this other character in this movie. No, fuck you, bitch. You know, okay. No, hell no. Because the movie does have sort of a cute ending, but it's like, I'm not buying it at all. And I'll wrap up and let Denise run with it a little bit. But, you know, here, it's not, like I told you, there's some things in here to enjoy, man. It's not a terrible film. It's just a film that didn't meet its potential. And another thing with this is that not only did it not meet its potential, but it's a movie that just relies on lame jokes to get easy laughs and then feels like they said something deep by giving you this big, heavy-handed message at the end. Uh-huh. You know, because that's what they do at the end of this movie, man. They actually, and it's, when I say heavy-handed, it is very heavy-handed. You know, it's like, this day I have learned to be a better person and I'm because of this. And it's like, okay, too late for this. You didn't earn that.
Sit down.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you totally forget there's a message. Mm-hmm. And then they just like throw it in at the end. They're like, oh, there's supposed to be something here that was substantial.
Nah. It's a rental, man. I mean, there's some things to laugh at. It's not a waste of time if you watch it at home. Like I said, it should have been and could have been so much better of a film, even with the broad humor that it had. But a rental, not bad, not good, just a rental. What do you say to me?
I was debating between Low Matinee and a rental.
Okay, and where do you land?
Just because it's made for 2008, early 2009, just because of all the sports figures inside of it. So if you're a guy, you're going to like that. And so Low Matinee, just because all the jokes, but it is kind of forgettable. Hmm. And I really like the actress.
Which one? The black one?
They're all black.
Not all black. There's a lot of women in here. Which one?
Tahara.
I'm not going to help you. I want to hear how you fuck this up.
You know her from television. You know her from television from the shows.
She does not.
I'm horrible with names.
God damn it! Who held? Somebody gave her a lifeline. Look at that. We women stick together. Yes. That's the only reason why she gets a matinee. Everything she's made is forgettable. It's some bullshit, but it's a matinee.
Yeah, and there's some 50 Grays shit in there too.
50 Grays?
50 Shades of Grays in there.
I like the way she was so crazy. Martin said, 50 Gray what? 50 Gray Rabbits?
Okay. Oh. All right.
All right, then. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I see right now, I'm going to just have to let you just do your review solo. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let Martin and I do this next review. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let you just come up and do your 2-minute Denise thing.
Okay. I'll be quiet.
No, it's not that. No. For one, I feel like, and you can understand why, I feel like I got to come in and step on you sometimes because, I mean, it's just, I tell you why, because I got to bring your thoughts back around. Because your thoughts, and I'm giving you criticism on how to review better. Okay. Because your thoughts are kind of everywhere. You don't have them arranged very well. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And you know, so I see, I'm kind of wondering, and so I'll bring them back in. But, and I don't want to have to correct you when we're doing things. But I think, you know, if you have your own little forum to do your thing for a couple of minutes.
Without us interrupting you.
Without us interrupting you, yes.
Was I interrupting you?
No, we don't want to interrupt you.
Well, I wasn't prepared for Code Pursuit. I just had like a small thing on Code Pursuit.
Okay, say it now then.
Okay. On Code Pursuit, I actually liked a lot better than What Men Want.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually thought it was funnier than What Men Want.
Okay.
And I loved the end, and that was like a solid matinee.
Solid matinee. That's all you want to say? I mean, you don't want to come back up later?
Yeah, I'll come back up.
Okay, okay. Get the fuck out of here, man. We'll bring it back.
Just stop like, wait, what?
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. We'll take a look at that. She is cute, though, isn't she?
She is cute.
Yeah, she's adorable. I like having her up here. Getting to our last review right here. Let's see what we got. Let's see here. Okay, here we go. Got it right here. Someone always taking Liam Neeson shit, man. And getting the ass beat for
it. This man's just trying to live his life.
He's just trying to live.
Y'all trying to, y'all kidnapping his daughter or killing his son.
Yeah. This is the man just trying to, have things.
Right.
And people just keep taking it. And like I said, and getting y'all's asses whooped. And some half the time, I think y'all just doing it as a challenge now.
Right. The Liam Neeson challenge.
Take Liam Neeson shit without getting your ass whooped challenge. So far, nobody has has won.
Well, I think that Wolf won.
Yeah. We don't know. I think so. No, I have my money on Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson had them little Tabasco bottles on his ass. I think if you know it's the last frame, that Wolf was like, shit.
Oh, man, I ain't know it was you.
Now somebody took his snowplow. And he's mad. Oh, and they killed his son,
they
too.
They killed his son.
But that plow meant a lot to him. And you know what? Normally people would root for Liam Neeson, but people ain't too happy with Mr. Neeson these days, Lee. You know, it was bad that he was making Taken over and over and over again, taking on a plane, taking on a train, and then people find out that Taken might have been a a true story. The most racist version of taking out the taking the prequel. Where is that black bastard? Oh, you know, shit got too real. You know, things turn ugly, man. If anyone could use a good movie right now, it could be Liam Neeson. And we're going to see if this film is actually that good movie that Liam Neeson needs so much. And, you know, it looks like it's an uphill battle already because, you know, this is it does look like another. It's like we said, taken with a snowplow in the snow. And look, we can't blame anybody for thinking that. Let's go ahead and take a look at the trailer one more time. Maybe we'll find something new, and we'll tell you if this is actually maybe a new, decent version of Taken, or who knows? Could be something different this time.
I'm very honored to be named Kehoe Citizen of the Year. I'm just a guy who keeps a strip of civilization open. When you drive the same road day after day, it's easy to think about the road not taken. I was lucky. I picked a good road early, and I stayed on it.
Mr. Coxman?
What can I do for you?
It's about your son.
I thought it's about your name. The fuck, really? You can change that, you know.
I think my name is cool.
Yes. I'm Coxman, yes.
He died of a heroin overdose.
We didn't know our own son.
Kyle wasn't a druggie.
Sorry, but all the parents say that.
You're going to have to say a few words.
Kyle's dead. Tell me what happened.
He got mixed up with some drug dealer. Viking. He likes hurting people.
What is it with all these nicknames? Speedo, Viking, Eskimo.
It's a gangster thing.
Did you have a nickname?
Wingman.
Wingman. I'm going to kill him. No, those guys.
One guy could disappear. Two, who wants me dead?
Three of Viking's drug dealers have disappeared.
What makes you think you can kill a man?
I read it in a crime novel. What are you doing?
More cowbell.
Martin was over here. Cowboy up in my ear. Get away, man.
This doesn't happen in Keogh.
It just did. Jesus don't feel the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain. Come on, baby, don't feel the reaper. Baby, take my hand.
Nels Coxman, Citizen of the Year. Good for him.
All right, let me start out by saying that I'm not one to turn away business, all right? You know, what we do depends on an audience, views, eyeball, ears, all that kind of stuff. But if you plan on seeing this film anytime in the near future, don't listen to this review. Just get out of here. Just go somewhere, do something else, come back in about 20 minutes or whatever. Because believe me, no pun intended right here. No, actually, you're going to blame me for it anyway. So, yes, it is. It's better to go in cold. So, I told you. See, that's why I didn't want to do it. I thought about it.
There was no other way to say
it. There was no other way to do it, man. Thank you, Serenity. You know, thank you.
There was no other
way. There was no other way. And I thought about it. I was like, you know, and I looked at you and I was like, shit.
No, man, I'm not going to jump on you for that.
I really wasn't trying to make a pun, but I said, there's no other way to do it. So, pun intended.
It happens that way sometimes.
Yeah, it's just no other way to do it, man. Go in without knowing anything about this. And believe me, you need the reaction that you get thinking that you're going to see a Taken film. So go, please go away. Did he leave? No, get the fuck out of here. Oh, Is he gone? Okay.
Trying to help you.
Yeah, trying to help you. All right. You know, good, because I'm sorry that I went in with the things that I know. I wish I had gone in here treating this in my mind. I was prejudiced with this. In my mind, I was like, good, another goddamn Taken ripoff. How many times is this man going to do this movie? I don't care if you in the snow doing it this time. It's the same thing. And as I said, watching this trailer, it really is, like I said earlier, it really does look like Taken on a snowplow, Taken in the snow, Taken in the Arctic, or whatever they are, wherever they are, which I know they are, but you don't know where they are when you look at the trailer. It's not that. You know,
it's what's funny is when you last showed the trailer, we talked about the whole Liam Neeson thing, and when they brought up those ridiculous nicknames, I was kind of laughing and heard him mention something about it being dark and comedic, and that's what made me go see it. I was like, you know what? I think despite this marketing, I think this is a dark comedy, and I want to check it out.
Yeah, and you know what? And no one can blame me for going in thinking that. Some of you already seen you've already seen some interviews and some probably reviews of this where they've described it. But you really the less you know, the more you need to have a natural reaction to just the weirdness that this movie takes on certain points. And no one can blame you. I don't even blame myself as much as I was being prejudiced about this film. No one can blame you for going in thinking that this is going to be another Taken film. I would even say that early on in the movie, with very, very microscopic exceptions, it plays out like a Taken film.
It really does.
He goes into he goes places. Listen, you know how it is. Somebody does something to him. He tracks down the bad guys. Bad guys look at him. Even when he's bigger than them, they got shit to say. Mm-hmm. He says, "Don't talk shit to me. Beats the fuck out of him." Usually ends with death, and he goes on to the next person to rinse and repeat. Starts out like that very early in this movie.
Dante says hello.
I don't know any Dantes.
Yes, you do. You worked at the Kehoe Airport with my son, Kyle. You know him too. Tell me what happened.
All right, Pops, there's a door, all right? Now, I don't know what igloo you crawled out of, but I think it's time you crawled back in. And trust me, that's your best move.
Bitch, don't you ever turn your ass on.
I know.
Don't you ever turn your back on Liam Neeson. Are you stupid? Don't you ever turn your back on Liam Neeson, man.
Well, don't threaten anybody and then just turn your back on him.
Yeah, don't exactly. I don't care if you got a gun.
It's like that gun's not in your hand right now. You do know that.
Yeah. Especially when somebody got this look on their face. Don't turn your back on them, man. That's somebody don't give a fuck about that gun that you got. Yeah, you know, after that ass whooping, I'm going to let Mar take it from there. After that ass whooping right there, that's where we end Takenville.
and that's what, 10 minutes into the movie?
That's 10 minutes into the movie. We in a whole different city after that. You know, because after that, it's funny because Liam Neeson, he gets pushed out the movie kind of.
Yeah.
All these characters start coming in. If you look at the trailer, you see a lot of, besides Liam Neeson, you see a lot of people. You know, you got two cops that come in. That kind of like they're from Fargo. You got you get all these gangsters with funny names, with their own subplots, and they're all cracking jokes and they're funny. Like Taken 2 and 3 were unintentional comedies. It's almost like this movie just embraced itself as another Taken version that says, you know what, this is ridiculous. Let's make it funny and actually try to be smart about it again.
Yeah. Yeah, and you mentioned the two cops. The thing is, yeah, this movie is a lot more like Fargo than it is Taken. It's only that beginning, but it's that it's a crime thriller in the North that's darkly comedic. I mean, it's really black comedy, and it sneaks up on you because at first stuff is just happening that seems like plot holes are kind of ridiculous, and then you're like, wait a minute,
yeah,
this movie has been too smart to do something this ridiculous unless it's on purpose.
Exactly. No,
I mean it takes you a while to kind of go like, hold on.
Yeah.
This is, all right, they know what they're doing here.
Well, the funniest part of it is, and the funniest thing is the funniest character in here, which is the main villain, Tom Bateman, as Viking. This, you know, now in any other movie, in any other Taken movie, like you don't see the main villain until like the end of the movie. He's usually the head mob guy, the head honcho, the last boss in the video game. He's the one that talks the most shit and gives Liam Neeson the most challenge.
Right, right.
This dude kind of pushes Liam Neeson out of his own movie, and he's hilarious, man. He's slimy in the most entertaining way. Tom Bateman is a British actor, actually, but I forgot that.
That makes sense because his American accent was too weird. I was so like,
but that's what made it funny.
I can't tell where this guy's from. I should have known he was British.
He has, and this one, you know that you are really in comedic territory. He has this thing where he makes sure that his son is on the most insane health diet.
Right.
You eat chicken and rice. He says, I made this list right here. Chicken and rice for breakfast. Chicken and rice for lunch. Chicken and rice for dinner. And then the wife is like, you don't even get a snack anything?
Every day? No. On Tuesdays, he gets beef and broccoli for breakfast, dinner, and lunch.
Yeah. He's got a warped sense of work ethic. Guys fear him, but his wife beats the shit out of him.
Ex-wife.
Ex-wife. He's a hilarious character, man. And when you see his performance, I wish I had a clip, but I don't, because I really like that character, man. And, you know, and don't even get me started on the Native American mob.
I love that Native American mob.
Yeah.
I was like, I would just want a movie with these guys.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? It's at a point where that look on Liam Neeson's face, that's confusion. He's like, well, shit, this is my movie. At least I thought. All these people come.
Well, and, you know, that's another thing with Liam Neeson's character. He's not ex-special forces or anything like that. He's just a father who's just mad his son got killed.
He's the world's most badass snowplow driver.
Yeah.
He like the Punisher of snowplow drivers, man. You know, and that makes it even weirder because it's like this guy, he's just driven by anger. And even after a certain point, they even kind of hint that maybe he's just crazy because they don't even like get into the sun that much after that. Like the sun is just kind of he becomes like an afterthought later.
Well, it is so quick how like this. Here's a character who his power is that he's got nothing to lose. His son has been killed. His wife just leaves him suddenly, and he's at a point.
Well, we don't want to give away too much now.
He's ready to give up on life. But the one thing that's keeping him going is his revenge.
Yeah, yeah, and like I said, man, you know, it goes into Punisher territory where you just like, okay, this guy, is he killing because he just got a taste for it the first time, and it's just fun and it's good. Because I could say they don't even mention the sun that much anymore after a while. I mean, it's mentioned, but not that much. It's not like it's a driving force where he's just sitting back and like, my boy, you know. It's like there's other characters in there that actually seem to have more emotions towards their children than he does. Not to say he's a bad character. It's you know, this is an action movie. I know that they did this on purpose, make it as darkly comedic as they did, but they pay so much attention to like trying to stick to the drama and the action and making that a priority and then putting the humor in there where it's appropriate that it seems like it's an action film that just doesn't know how funny it is.
Well, okay. So here's the thing about this. Cause I kept thinking that too. I was like, man, between being an action film and being a dark comedy, it doesn't quite know how to meld these things correctly. It's like sometimes it's one thing and sometimes the other. And it's like it doesn't know what it is. And a big motif about it is people getting killed and them showing you their name afterwards. Like, hey, you know, it's almost like the Hunger Games where a cannon goes off in the air. There's a screen where they get their own name plastered.
Well, what they do is I thought it was creative what they did that.
No, it's very creative.
Because, you know, they put in a lot of, it's a creative movie too, because what they do is no matter whether it's a good guy, bad guy, one of his gimmicks is that it gives a visual eulogy of some sort to people who have died.
Yeah, just so if there's any part of you that wonders.
Yeah.
They get it to a point where they'll show somebody alive and the scene just cuts and you see their name come up. You're like, oh, well.
Yeah, yeah.
You knew that was coming.
They give you a scorecard.
But once it was all said and done, I kept thinking, man, this feels like it's an adaptation of a book. But there's probably more that explains some things. And then I thought to myself, there's something about this that makes me think, I bet I could see this movie. I don't know how it's going to be received here, but I bet if it was from a foreign country like Norway, like one of those Norwegian crime movies that plays at Fantastic Fest, everybody would love it. Only to get to the end and discover, yes, that's what it was.
Well, I had gone in hearing that they made a start to make a big deal about how this was a Norwegian film by the same director is the same one that does one. Was Stellan
Skarsgård plays the Liam Neeson.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I haven't seen the movie. You did?
Yeah, I watched it last night.
Because you could tell me what it's like. Because I looked at it and I thought, wow, they are staying very close to certain shots that they did there, except they look like they had a bigger budget than this one. But they're staying very close to what they did to almost in the trailer, looking like they're doing a shot-for-shot remake.
Overdose,
sir. Ingvar var inte narkoman.
Det säger du så här aldrig förändrar.
Vad tänker ni göra?
Det var inte meningen att det skulle vara... På Ingvar hade han... Det är helt sant, han visste ingenting. Och nu ska jag ta mig.
Vad är det för fara?
One of the things, I don't know how they would bring in Native American mobs or anything like that.
So here's what they do. Because you're right about it. It's not quite shot for shot, but it is beat for beat. Mm-hmm. This is a very faithful adaptation. It's just that it has more money. And it's slightly better, to be honest. I thought maybe I'd see the original. Because Cold Pursuit, I liked it, but I didn't love it. And I thought, well, if I watch the original, they probably have all the cool shit in there. No. Matter of fact, they've added things. And with the original, instead of the Native American mob, it was the Serbian mob because they're in Norway.
Ah, gotcha.
So there, the Serbians are the, you know, they're the foreign mafia that's come in that they got to deal with.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, there's a lot of things that I really love about this movie. It got to a point where, you know, when we kept talking about Fargo, and then we kept talking about Taken, and then it dawned on me that, okay, this is Taken if the Coen brothers had got the script first.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe made their movie of somewhat that we see here, or made into an episode of Fargo that you see on TV.
Yeah, I kept thinking more like the TV series. Yeah, they did a season of that.
Where the criminal is actually the good guy, mm-hmm. you know, going around taking out the other bad guys. But and I love another thing about it is, like with Fargo, I love the cinematography. Man, look, you know what, to all you future filmmakers out there, you want to do some good cinematography, just shoot something in the snow.
And make sure it does give you a lot to play with.
Yeah, and make sure that you kill a lot of people in the bloodiest way. So you can get that you can get that red plasma hitting that white powder. It's beautiful. But what they do here, man, they make it's in Denver. But they make Denver look like the Antarctic, or they are at times. They make it look like
Norway.
Make it look like Norway. Yeah, yeah. It's something, you know, sometimes it's really beautiful with these big modern homes, man. You know, the cinematography in this is amazing, and sometimes it's frightening when they have these blizzards going through, or when this gloomy looking dusk is coming over the landscape. It's definitely, you can look at that trailer and tell this dude had way more money than he had in the last one.
Right, and he made a better movie. It's a slightly better movie. I watching it, I felt like, you know what, if he would have tightened some things, he could have made actually a much better movie. It's like he's trying to do the Coen brothers here, and, you know, succeeding more than not. But it's still one of those where, man, if they had done this, you wouldn't have questioned what kind of movie it was.
I agree, because for one, look, everybody, I know I say I love story. I know I want character development. I want characters to be, I want every character to be developed as much as they can, but not every character needs a subplot.
Right.
Now, you know, sometimes you don't serve no purpose here. You know, you're fine standing in the back, maybe pulling the trigger, but they try to give these subplots, these weird, absurd subplots to some of these, and quirky subplots to some of these characters that don't do anything but either make the movie too long, or one of the things that brought the movie down a notch for me is that they introduce a character and a subplot just to have a convenient, coincidental way to end the movie. I thought, man, this is way too convenient. I did not like the end.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I did. What happened? I didn't mind, but I thought that's not a way to end this.
Yeah,
that could have been something that's almost insignificant. It could have been something that just happened in the movie and didn't have to be here.
Yeah.
A thing about the original, one improvement is that those cops, they are just almost like a comedic thing, a comedy relief that show up twice and then don't really play an important part. And here, the police, they're in there a lot, but if you took them out, this movie would proceed as normal.
You
really don't need them. And you get recognizable actors for these roles, almost like you got them to agree to be in it, so you beefed up their part, but they don't really serve anything.
They're one of the people I'm talking about. I'm like, man, y'all didn't do shit.
Yeah.
Y'all just – you came in and almost like real life did an investigation and just disappeared.
Right.
Y'all, they really didn't do anything, uh-huh. man. They were useless in this movie. Yeah, it's a little too long, man. It's 2 hours. Could have been a real tight hour and a half, hour and 45 if you had taken some characters out and you don't need it. And like I said, I think it needed a stronger ending. I really liked this movie. I did. I liked it a lot. But I'd have to give it a matinee. I couldn't go full price.
Same here. And, you know, that's what I paid for it. And I was like, okay, this was worth that. But it's just some things. I was like, man, if you could just get this back in the editing room, we could fix a lot of these problems.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And just, you know, get that director to – you have to sit him down and go like, all right, man, I know this is your darling and you did it before and it worked here. But maybe this time lose some of that.
And Liam Neeson says, just have me just beat more asses. That's all. Just have me kill more people. That's what you came to see. And in a way, I'm thinking, man, you know, I'm glad it's not taken. But, you know, y'all did come in and kind of just gank his movie away from him.
Well, you know, all things considered, maybe that's for the best.
It probably is. Probably is. Yeah. 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 But it's good, man. It's really the biggest thing that this movie has going for it is really pitching this as one movie and going in and seeing another.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe people walk out saying that's bullshit.
Well, you know, I mean, maybe it's just one that I thought that I might be getting a much worse movie than this. Because thinking it's going to be another Taken or The Commuter, you're like, all right, let's get this over with. And then you go, oh, there's actually a brain behind this and some craft.
Yeah, yeah. I thought about it the other day. I'm actually writing my script where somebody takes Liam Neeson's Amazon package. I thought, man, you know. You know, he's killing people over like some socks or something. We're gonna get it done. Man, I'll work with him one day. If he doesn't kill me first,
it'll be him when he's old.
You remind me of someone. Shit.
Now that would be hilarious. The movie about you filming with a senile Liam Neeson. He's thinking, you're the black bastard who raped my friend, aren't you?
I don't know what kosh means, but is that one in your hand right now? all right, everybody. Hey, you know what? Come on, I'll give you 2-minute review, Denise. I want to hear this.
Well.
There she is. She saw Cold Pursuit.
Want to hear this real quick? 2 minutes. In fact, you know what? I'm going to set my...
Yeah.
I'm gonna set my... Set this alarm over here. This stopwatch. All right, Denise. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, go.
Okay, I saw Cold Pursuit.
Shit. Damn, man. That's it.
It's been 2 minutes.
That wasn't even a second.
Thank you, Denise. And time's up.
That was 2 Coleman minutes.
I was like, damn, I didn't do anything. Okay, go ahead. Okay, I saw Cold Pursuit. I liked it. I thought it was a solid matinee, too. I thought it was hilarious. It starts out violent at first. It starts out really violent. And then it gets kind of slow. And then it picks up at the end. I felt it was kind of like Oprah, except with... Yes, I did say Oprah. Except with... with new cars. It's like, you die, you die, you get to die. Everyone dies.
Okay. All right, she brought it back around.
Okay, yeah, she did. I mean, it started, it's still crazy, but, you know, we started crazy, went fucking crazy, and then we brought it back to crazy, okay.
All right.
Yeah, okay, I got you. Handing out death, all right.
Yes, it was like handed out deaths anywhere. The main character, Viking, the main villain, is such a prick. I mean, he's like kind of like he starts out being nice to his kid, and then he's just like snacks for your son. It's like a cookie and a brownie. He's like high fructose corn syrup and baking soda. How dare you give this to my son? Who packed my kid a son? You get shot. You die. I was like, what the hell? It's a cookie. It's a damn cookie.
Is that it? 2 minutes?
No.
Okay.
I like that there were minority cookies, that there were not minority actors in there. There are Native Americans, Indians, an Asian lady in there. And she was hilarious. Like, the wife of Wingman was hilarious. I loved her. And I agree with Corey Martin that the cops were not needed. But their interaction with Vice was hilarious, especially the ambulance scene. And I couldn't wait for the tree. I was waiting the entire time, the tree and the preview, that tree. I was just waiting for that
and
to
And the
happen.
Tree was amazing.
The tree, black man, come on.
What do they call that thing? Tall, green stuff on a arms.
I was
arms.
Just waiting for that to happen. I was like, come on, that was my favorite part, and it finally happens. And I love the end of this movie.
Okay,
I actually love it. Like he's like flying.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right. Thank you. All right. Okay. All right.
Solid matinee.
All right.
Right on.
There you go, Denise. Yes, I enjoyed it. I gave you an extra minute, by the way, because I just had to see where this was going to go. Oh,
you like the Oprah comment?
I love the tree. You're right. That was a badass tree. I heard that him and Liam Neeson are going to be teamed up in the next movie. In that tree.
I don't know. After those comments, I think that tree is wanting to take a break. Reevaluate.
It got its feathers ruffled. Its branches ruffled.
Okay. All right, Denise. Thank you.
No, don't.
Yeah, Denise. Thank you. Thank you.
My girl.
I can't wait to get you on the next one. I'm not lying. But I've learned that you have to be
we'll do it and let her come up and just give her a wrap up. That's awesome.
Exactly, Mark.
That's what I said. Without being interrupted, you get to just flow.
Yeah, I'm not even lying. You have the most unique reviewing style I have ever heard. I tell you, being a big fan of Corel Buffett, I admire uniqueness in people. So, thank you, Denise. I appreciate it. Real quick, I want to spread some sad news to the folks out there. We have lost, as I keep saying, someone who has brought a lot of joy to people out there. This man, he had a lot of sadness in life, and that sadness was displayed one day on a TV show. But that one bit of sadness, they say it's the cry that was heard around the world. It's this one man here in the middle of an intervention. He gave a cry that made people laugh so hard and brought happiness to them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, this is not who I was thinking about.
Yeah, I'm talking about Martin Rocky Lockridge, known as the best cry ever.
I know somewhere deep down in my heart.
Oh, Lord.
I still love you.
It sounded like a combination of a goat being born and a trumpet. You know, this guy, yeah.
That but between the two of them, it sounded like high school was putting on a Tennessee Williams play. So much overacted drama, good Lord.
Hi, Martin, but I want you to know deep in my heart, I still hate you. Okay, it's only somebody threw you off a cliff. This man It's look, I say it made a lot of people laugh, and now a lot of us are feeling like real assholes today because we didn't know the backstory. We just saw the video, we saw the meme. We didn't realize that the man, even when we were told that this is from a show called Intervention, and there are people here crying. This man, he was an excellent boxer who happened to unfortunately fall into drugs and alcoholism. Mm-hmm. He was homeless for a while, walked on a cane because of a lot of strokes. And this is the intervention that came in with this when his son was telling him, hey, you know, people love you. We want you to get your life back on track. We want to help you. So last night, you know, I was talking to Patrick Gertz. We were hanging out. He told me about this. He's like, man, do you know the best cry I ever got? He died. And I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, shit, he died.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, he lived a good life. And he's like, nah, he was 60 and he died after a series of strokes. I was like, holy shit, man. Yeah, this guy. I'll read what's on Wikipedia for him. I mean, it's the best way to do it. For the last two decades of his life, Lockridge had drug problems. He became homeless and suffered a stroke, which forced him to walk with a cane. He was featured on A&E's Intervention, which you see right here. And that was a TV series, which he claimed that the intervention, the help of his sons, saved his life. His appearance on the show is noted for a notorious moment where his son Lamar says, "Because I know somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you," which caused Lockridge to break down crying hard enough to the point where he was screaming at the top of his lungs. This is what I have here. That spawned the internet meme, "Best Cry Ever." He was also caught on video defending himself by knocking out a bullet with a single 1-2 jab cross combination near a convenience store. In interviews, he expressed a desire to be drug-free, having stated that he had never been this clean, even in his fighting days. He says, "I feel so good today." This is a quote from him when, back in the day. "I feel so good today that if I hadn't suffered the stroke, I would go for a title shot." He was also interested in becoming a boxing trainer. Lockridge died on February 7th, 2019, at the age of 60. After being placed on home hospice care following another series of strokes. Mm. Yep. He was removed from life support about 1 week prior to his death. So, yeah, people, it's, I'm not trying to bring anything down because, look, I laugh too. And I still think it's funny. I mean, and I'm not laughing at the guy. I mean, it's a funny sound. You can't help but laugh. But, yeah, man, sometimes we forget there's a story behind these memes, man. There's people behind these things.
You see, you, the internet, y'all always being assholes.
Why you put me in
there? I want to call other people out. You just said you heard you laugh and you heard he died.
But my laugh came from a different place, man. My laugh came from a place of respect. You know, I never laughed.
Nobody's buying that.
Martin, I didn't laugh at him. I laughed with him.
He was dead. So how was he laughing?
Oh, Martin, I'm sure he laughed after he saw the video, too. He said, "That was me." I'm not even blaming people or anything like that. I'm just saying, hey, you know, the internet culture, the guy became a meme. Everybody knows him. As far as we're concerned, in internet culture, the guy's a star. And it's worth mentioning that he passed. A lot of people are remembering him probably more than – he probably was remembered more for that meme and that cry than he would have just for that show. I guarantee you that. But glad that he got his life together a little bit. You know, because it sounds like before he died, it was really the drugs and everything just kind of caught up with him. You know, his health was bad.
Well, it also sounds like this is one of those rare interventions that work.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it sounds like besides his health being bad, and it's inevitably just going to happen at some point. 60 is still young, man.
That's very young.
Yeah, yeah. It's sad, but at least he went out with people
caring about him,
trying to help him out. They set his life straight. Probably would have died sooner without those people.
Oh,
man.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah, and that would have been very tragic. So, 60 years old, man. Yeah, again, you know, we talk about all these musicians, these actors, directors, and artists, and now it's weird that when they age, now we're remembering people for memes. It's the age we live in, man.
Everybody's famous.
Yeah, 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 man. That 15 minutes, it's worth something now. So there you go, people.
Wow. Okay, I thought you were going to talk about Albert Finney. Warbucks.
He was like 70, right?
I think so. Yeah, he was. I mean, he was older, sure. No, he was 80.
He was 80. Okay,
or 81.
Right. Yeah. 81. All right, yeah. Man. Once you get 80,
I know.
Yeah, he was. He was iconic characters, man. He was. Yeah. He was he Scrooge? Daddy Warbucks. I was going to say he was Scrooge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Daddy Warbucks, Scrooge. He's in that movie Looker. Miller's Crossing. He was the head of the gangsters.
Wolfen.
Oh, that's you remember right. Yeah, Wolfen? Yeah.
Cheap ass werewolf movie. Yeah, yeah, it's like, how'd you get Albert Finney in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. All right. Sam, want to come up?
Woo. Sammy.
Somebody said Aladdin is out there.
It's a short 1 minute thing.
Oh, so does it show anything?
But it shows Will Smith as Genie.
Uh-oh. La-da-da.
I'm glad to take a look. The chat is putting in the screaming cowboy.
When that guy dies, it's going to be a trap.
Oh, it is, man. I'm over, I'll eulogize him too, man.
Go to his funeral.
Are you crying? Or? Oh, no, I'm just doing a meme.
Boy, you had me cracking up the first time you showed me that.
That first time was fucking golden, man. Because I was like, because we were at a bar somewhere, yeah?
Yeah, we were at a bar.
We're at a casino, and we're just like, I was like, have you seen this? Hey, you just watched it on a loop. I had never seen you laugh like that before.
Yeah, I said, where the
at some stupid memes like that.
I was mad. Like, how come you didn't show me this shit?
I just remember in chat that someone made the best cry into the cowboy.
Did they? Where is it? Oh, let me see here. Oh, this. Oh, okay.
Let's see.
I got
because
you know.
Because I know. Somewhere. Because I know.
Stop. I'm trying to bring this thing full screen. Hold on, y'all. I want to see this. I love this. That man's a hero of mine.
Which one?
Both. Let me see. So you know when you combine them together, man, that's incredible.
Because I know somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
Oh, the best of both worlds, man. I love it. I love it. Thank you, Felix. Appreciate it, man.
Memes are no holds barred, man.
They really are. They really are, man. Oh, Aladdin teaser. Where is it?
You just had something up there.
I did.
I saw a blue Will Smith. Unless that's a Smurfs 4 movie.
Okay. Yeah, here we go.
Lance got O'Reilly. A sponsorship. Disney's Aladdin brought to you by.
All right. It's just, yeah, this is just a minute long. Let's take a look at it.
Handsome-ass Jafar.
A handsome-ass Jafar? Yeah, let me see.
Girls are like, I don't even want to follow this Aladdin dude. That guy's handsome as fuck.
I know. Women are talking about Jafar.
I don't know who the actor is, but he is a fucking good-looking dude, man. It's going to be hard to root against him. It's like Channing Tatum should be our villain.
He's handsome. He gets everything already.
Right? Wow.
Fuck that.
Boy, it'd be fun if Iago is fine as fuck. Man, that bird, boy.
Cave of Wonders. Got a sexy voice. It's not Gilbert Gottfried anymore. I think it might be. I think it is.
Let me see.
Come on, man. You got to give Gilbert that.
Right.
All right, let's go ahead and take a look, man. It just came out, the Aladdin teaser. Have not seen this. And everybody's been wanting to see Will Smith in that blue paint they threw on his ass. Yeah. Looked like Will Smith just held his breath for a long time.
Joined the Blue Man Group.
Yeah. All right. Let me see here. We got turned up. It's just a minute-long teaser. It just came out mid-show. Let's take a look at Aladdin.
Bring me the lamp. Your life begins now. Aladdin.
Whoa.
definitely don't know who I am. Genie, wishes, lamp, none of that ringing a bell.
And we can get stand up with Will Smith. Okay, look, I know no one, because that's what people really wanted to see, because they know how that, you know, they can imagine how all this other stuff is going to look.
Hey, you can keep all that. Yeah, I want to see that Princess Jasmine.
Yeah, but this genie right here, I maybe look different on the screen, but I know it's fake, but it just looked fake as hell. Look like, you see what I'm just, it looked like somebody's controlling him with a stick or something. Yeah, you know?
I mean, it's very obvious green screen.
And did they buff him up? Or they buffed him up. Did he get, I didn't know. No. I don't know if he got fat. All right.
I think they might be going like this middle ground of like kind of swole thick, like the musical one. Because the musical guy looks like Chicago John,
right? Yeah.
The guy who plays that. Yeah. So I don't know if they're trying to make him like, they didn't try to make him super cut, but they made him just like kind of, I don't know, jolly,
well,
I guess.
That's how the genie was. He was bulky but muscular.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, I don't want to be one of those people looks at this and be like, man, ain't Robin Williams, ain't my genie.
But it's fake.
But it looks.
He didn't put on the weight to do that, or else it'd be cleaning up and recoloring. That looks like a whole CG body.
Yeah.
I really don't know who I am. Genie, wishes, lamp, none of that ringing up.
You know, at least he didn't come out rapping and shit. I'm the blue genie.
Yeah, but you only have 12
get
seconds.
Get genie with it. Na, na,
na, we na, na, are Aladdin's lamp.
I love how you have confidence that they're not going to do that.
Oh, they will. They will. DJ Jazzy Jeff is going to be the fucking carpet.
That's 12 seconds of a two-hour movie.
Can I make a wish? Real quick.
Leave the raps out of it, man.
Please make a wish, and then shit in the other hand.
Yeah, I will wish three times. Please don't rap. Please don't rap, and please don't fucking rap. Yeah, I use them all up. But you know, everything else. I mean, it's hard to get excited. I like the way Martin was looking at Jasmine, and Sam was looking at Jafar like, damn, he fine as fuck. Hey. I mean, I don't blame you, man.
I mean, he didn't even sound as menacing. Like, Jasmine could get with him. Yeah,
I like.
She needs a strong man like that.
Like, I don't even mind being into him because he's not even manly. He's just kind of metrosexual when you look at him.
Bring me the lamp.
Bring me the lamp.
And this is where your life begins, baby.
Yeah,
he's like Loki.
Yeah, got on mascara and shit. I mean, yeah, man. You know, you want dudes to try to fuck you, man. He's like he's like Prince, except Arabian evil. But you know what? I'm looking at this, man. I'm thinking, I would be more excited if Disney hadn't been bringing out so many movies now on this trend where it's like they're showing us, okay, this is what it looks like in live action, or in CG that looks like live action. You know, I mean, I'm still curious, but it's like, all right, just looks like you're just adapting, you know, straightforward shots.
Well, like Aladdin is probably my favorite Disney movie of like the 90s era at least.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's just none of that pop that comes with the original. I mean, you have Robin Williams, of course, you can't catch that. He was on coke. That's a whole different era. And then you have
that is true.
The beautiful animation. You have the sequence where they're in the Cave of Wonders and the lava comes out.
Well,
you know?
Just all the songs. They nail it with every song in that movie. And there's so much that goes on. And it's just like the minute Aladdin comes on, it's just alive. And it's way from beginning to end.
And here they're trying to make it like with the swelling music, this big epic. And it's like, no, it's a small story about a guy on an adventure.
Damn, getting she is fine as fuck. Martin,
right.
You should have heard Martin. I knew Martin.
No, you heard him. Oh, he was on mic for that. Yeah.
I knew Martin. Let me tell you, Martin got a thing for like them olive brown girls out there, man. I knew. I said the moment that Martin see this, I'm just going here, bang. And sure enough, Martin watched that and he was like, Jesus.
I can show you the world.
And Jesus was behind Martin, like, I know, right? Shit. I was going to say, God damn. you know what? But I will say the interesting thing about bringing stuff to live action, it is kind of cooler when you're working with something as colorful as you say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it does give people a lot to work with the the art department, man. You know, if nothing else, the costumes are going to be amazing in this.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, and there's going to be a lot of practical stuff that outside of what we know is going to be crazy CG. You're going to see cool sets. You're going to see cool costumes. You know, and I do think it's kind of cool that now we're adapting stories where brown people actually get to play those parts.
Right.
Wait, but you were saying.
Well, that was the thing. I mean, like, so I still am arguing. It's Jasmine. She's like half Egyptian. She's half something Indian, I think. Half Indian, mm-hmm. half English. So you know there's going to be people still being a stickler for that kind of shit.
Yeah, she's too
Eurocentric. And then the main guy, they're not even showing him. So that kind of concerns me a little bit. They just show his face, but he's not acting. He's not saying anything.
Oh. Yeah.
It's everybody around. They're doing all the trappings around him, but I don't really know of this guy too much, and I haven't really seen him do anything other than kind of look surprised in the last two trailers. So, you know, and then you have Big Willie style just doing whatever he does.
Yeah.
That looks like he's not doing anything more than what he does, so that's kind of concerning too.
Yeah.
Because he has like kind of a one-note thing, which we all like, but we've all seen.
Yeah,
yeah, no, that is true, man. It's funny because you're talking about it's funny when you put it in live action. You're talking about when Robin Williams was doing cocaine.
Yeah.
It was just like, damn, what kind of drugs was he doing when he came out that lamp? All that powder and shit. But it's
that blue dust.
He's all on, on that blue shit.
What's that Walter White's
sky blue crystal meth.
It is really, because that's such a, you know, and I'm not talking about Will Smith doing this. It's funny because the thing with the genie, man, in Aladdin, is that you know, that was a special performance, man. First of all, it was an amazing piece of artistry with the animation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That animate, first of all, animation style, the line work that they did for it, that is one of the genie is so beloved by artists because that is one of the greatest character designs out there in Disney's history. But the thing that, you know, combined with Robin Williams' performance and his impersonations, that's going to be a hard thing to follow, man.
And it's not even like you even try. So you have to do something different. And if you're trying to even be better than her, even at the level, you have to do something really creative. And him doing the same old shit, I'm like, God damn it, man.
Yeah.
Like, I get it's going to make a lot of money regardless. So I don't think he really has to try. I don't even think – Disney even asked him to try. I think they signed up for Will Smith. But – people are going to make the comparisons nonetheless, and you think you'd probably want to try something, you know?
Looking like a Smurf on steroids. Right. You
know? And it looks like he has a bald cap on. But, and I know it's CG, but like his face has a lot of texture, but then you get to the top of the head, and it's very, very smooth.
Right.
But,
and he looks very smooth.
But that's my deal with that. The reason why I bring up the artistry and the design of it is because even outside of the performance – you're taking like a CG character, which looks like, for right now, just kind of standard CG.
Yeah.
I mean, you could look. I was looking at how it was when he's approaching Aladdin in the body. You know, if you look at the way his body's moving from the back, you know how obvious CG it is. And the movement is so fake now that you can see. It's like the movement just doesn't look natural.
Looks like Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah.
From like a movie from years ago.
But I would even say that even Dr. Manhattan looked a little bit better.
Right. Well, because he had some texture. Yeah, like it was an actual buff human being where they didn't have to sculpt a whole new body for him.
But he might knock it out the park. He really might make it his own thing.
It could be his performance. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Carlos, what's up?
His face being imposed into the 3D model. That's not mocap.
It's not mocap.
Oh,
yeah, that's what it looks like. Yeah.
Carlos hit on something there that's why.
That's why it looks weird to me.
That's why it looks so crazy because, I didn't know you. If that's the case, that's a great observation.
Yeah, it's not his body, at all.
Yeah, so it's not mocap, so it's just real stilted looking animation.
Yeah.
Keyframe.
Keyframe.
Yeah, so his face is essentially hovering over a 3D model, and it's being mapped.
So
it might look better, and now hopefully they do elaborate CG with his effects and stuff, with his hand falling off and his gauntlets and all the little gags they do in the animation. Hopefully they do that kind of stuff with him, because that, I think, would be a lot of fun. But right now, they're just not showing us anything. That's what's concerning.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why I've always complained about putting too many, not trailers, but teasers out.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're giving people too much to just come in and just kind of just, you know, not get excited for it anymore, but kind of nitpick.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, I'm looking at that and that's like, okay, again, when Aladdin came out and he did the Cave of Wonders and they did that action scene, that was something kind of new for Disney, man. That was new for CG.
It was.
At the time. Watching this. This is standard CG that we see all the time. You know,
this is episode 3.
Exactly.
This is Mustafar. It's like, all right, cool.
Yeah. Man, you remember how much personality they gave to a carpet that couldn't talk?
Yeah.
It was, man. It's that's the only look. We're not saying that this isn't going to work. We're just saying the incredible things that they did with that film that they're going to continue this trend. That's some of those things you wonder how. how hard that's going to be to top.
You can't top it. You have to do something.
You have to do something different. Yeah.
And I don't even think they're going to do something different. I think they're going to do what Beauty and the Beast did, which made fucking $1 billion.
True.
And yeah. They just let it speak for itself.
You can kind of look at this right here.
I mean, if you look at this, honestly, the Super Nintendo game, the lava level is more exciting than what I'm looking at here. That shit was anxiety-inducing. You're getting chased by a tidal wave of lava, and you have to go through the rocks. That shit's scary for those of you who
played. I remember playing that game. Yeah, side-scrolling.
Side-scroll. So like this right here is like, okay, now he's going to escape this lava pit that's totally unrealistic. And I'm not saying it needs to be, but I don't think they're going to play it up in the cartoony way that you could from the cartoon.
Maybe that's how they need to play it. Maybe they need to play it a little more dramatic, maybe a little more realistic, you know, see how it goes. Right. And, you know, just doing that's what they did with the Jungle Book. You know, they did capture some of the songs and whatnot, the Jungle Book, some of the personalities, but then they played it up to be a little more scary, a little more real.
But the tone of that was given away in the trailers. The trailers were like, okay, this is the Jungle Book, which is usually a whimsical movie as a cartoon, but now it's a little more serious, a little more heavy. This is just seems serious, but there's all this ridiculous shit that we know is going to happen. So that's what makes it a little bit kind of tonally inconsistent.
I got to say, man, for what they wanted to introduce to make the big reveal – That genie's off-putting.
Yeah. It's Uncanny Valley for sure.
Yeah, that shit is scaring me.
Pardon me, but can you point me in the direction of the next Robert Zemeckis movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's wrong with your face? Man.
Shit, I tell you that. Yeah, man, I tell you. I'd be like these white folks. If I saw that brother come out that lamp, I'd call the police.
He looks like an inflatable. Like, he looks like you poke him and he's like soft.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like one of those little things outside of a car lot. Those little the wibbly wavy guys.
Maybe he'll do that in the movie.
Right? But like I'm saying, like hopefully they take the CG because the smoke around him is like kind of neat or whatever. But when you speak of the animation, that's the one thing I've always noticed, the little smoke trail that he has behind him in the cartoon. Uh-huh. That was always beautifully animated. And here it's just like, okay, smoke effect. Let's just move on.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. That's why I bring it up. I
mean, we want creativity, but will Disney do it when they don't have to? We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you never know. You never know. So, and I mean, don't want to bring this down. But
I try not to. I love this movie though. I love Aladdin, and that's, I think that's coming from someone who really loves Aladdin.
Man, I remember when Aladdin came out and when the critics described it one way, and I went to see it, and I was like, I'd be damned if it wasn't like that. They said, this is, the magic carpet ride in the Cave of Wonders, they said, rivals anything in Indiana Jones. And I was like, I'd be damned. Yeah. They sure does.
Right?
You're like, oh, Indiana Jones, bro. Let's see about that.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I guess
Yeah. Right. But shit, Indiana Jones is kind of a cartoon himself anyway. So.
Yeah, that was when they did the Little Mermaid, and it was the new renaissance of the animation. I was like, yeah, this is good. They haven't done good animation like this in a while, and Beauty and the Beast was better. I liked those movies, but I wasn't in love with them. But when I saw Aladdin, I was just like, okay, this is the one. This is the movie I've been waiting my whole life for.
Boy, damn. Aladdin was the one where dudes who were too cool for Disney animation, who were too cool for, you know, cartoons, you go to their house and be like, hey man, is this the Aladdin soundtrack? Oh man, that's my girlfriend. Man, you ain't got no girlfriend. Shut the fuck up. Get the fuck out of here, everybody.
Head of the hit, man.
They got the monkeys.
They got the monkeys.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I love that shit, man.
No, I had that soundtrack. I remember somebody gave me that for Christmas, and I was like, oh, shit. I mean, oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, that's cool. Man, that's cool.
Yeah. I'll give it a listen, man.
Well, if you don't want it, no.
Yeah.
Is that Celine Dion? No, it's Beauty and the Beast, actually.
I'm not ragging on this. I feel like you do. Mm-hmm. More curious than excited.
Because I like Will Smith. Will Smith is part of my childhood. He's the other half. He's the older, the five and after. I was 5 years old, and then Men in Black came out, and all those things started coming out.
That's so right. You love Wild Wild West.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I like Will Smith. The movies, you know, whatever. But
even Will is like, look at me. He's like, you like that shit?
I made a huge mistake with that movie.
Shit. No, I liked his music. I was into Big Willie style for a long time, man. Millennium.
You know what he looks like, man?
What?
He looks like somebody just robbed a bank and the money blew up on him. He got the dye pack. Yeah, man.
I didn't mean to take the money. See, the thing is.
So I was just in the car. I didn't know they actually robbed the bank. I just need a ride. Oh, well. We'll see, people. We'll see. I hope that this is, I hope, man, just like anything. We all want to see a good movie.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't mind seeing something that I love done a different way and succeeding. Mm-hmm. So who knows, man? They've surprised us before. Martin, you know, I'll leave the last word on you. How do you feel about this?
No, not that. It just, you know, again, underwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe they have some cool things coming up, but I don't know if this bodes well.
Yeah.
I think back, when I think about the ones they did, I like, as in Jungle Book.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know about this. But there's potential, and then at least with the casting, I was excited.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jungle Book, they pulled it off. They made a movie that's enjoyable to watch outside of the original animation. I can watch both and enjoy both, you know, equally or as independent things. And then with Beauty and the Beast, it was just a shot-for-shot remake, just completely unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
So we get here, and I'm like, man, there's a lot you got to pull off, and unless you guys are thinking outside the box. I think this is going to be not even as good as Beauty and the Beast.
Is this John Favreau?
No.
This
is Guy Ritchie. Ritchie.
This is Guy.
And I haven't liked the Guy Ritchie movie in a long time.
Yeah, that's another thing, man. Yeah, Guy Ritchie been having some misses lately.
I'm talking about, like,
what was the last one? King Arthur?
Yeah. I don't think I've liked the Guy Ritchie movie since that first Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, that was Snatch. I love Brigham says Snatch. I love Snatch.
Oh, yeah, of course.
There's a lot of Guy Ritchie movies.
And Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Guy Ritchie was the guy that could rip off Tarantino and actually get away with it.
Yeah, because he had something of his own style to it.
Yep, he sure did. No, I love Snatch, man. Yeah, he hadn't done this in a while. Martin looking at this, Martin like, man, fuck, give me that Jasmine movie.
Yeah.
That's a full price right there. Shit, better than sex.
Yeah, Raj is on the back like, you better not touch my girl.
I whipped that tiger's ass.
That tiger cough out of a door. You all right, Jasmine? Yeah, man.
There's the Sultan behind, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I'm curious. Curious mm-hmm. about it. All right. We're going to do this real quick because we're going to get out of here. Probably no email today. We'll read emails tomorrow. Maybe I'll come home tonight and read emails on Twitch. I don't know. Maybe you guys can maybe we'll do that. Maybe I'll upload stuff. Everybody send me that Aladdin. Okay, I got it. Everybody send emails. Aladdin. Man, you see Aladdin's out. Man, get that Aladdin. You better talk about Aladdin. I got you. All right? You have it?
But Aladdin, though. But Aladdin.
Who?
It's Will Smith movie. It's the greatest.
Oh, let's see here. Oh, I love the chat they talking about. They like, yeah, milking it. Yeah, man. Here's what Disney's trying to do with that live action franchise.
The shit. What? I mean, he is the shit. But
oh, they're talking about the Tarzan
soundtrack.
Which soundtrack wasn't bad.
That's a really good soundtrack.
I haven't seen that movie, though.
Somebody, have you not seen
I've
it?
I've not seen Tarzan.
It's actually next to Aladdin.
Julian says Blue Shrek. Shrek looked more real than that dude, man.
That animated Tarzan movie is the best Tarzan movie they've ever made.
Okay,
you saw that?
I saw that. I saw cut it out. Stop. Put it down. Don't do this shit. They talking about doing a live action Nightmare Before Christmas. Enough is enough.
No, do it. Let's see it.
Why?
No.
It's already live action. It's actual puppets.
Really? Y'all want to see this shit? Really?
They want more merch. They want more emo gloves.
No. Carlos, you're just being contradictory. Nobody want to see that shit.
Hurry in the fucking rabbit hole. Let's see it.
Yeah, we don't have enough Hot Topics.
We don't
get any more Hot Topic fingerless gloves with Jack Skellington on them.
So what they'll do, they just get some skateboarder from Hot Topic to play Jack Skellington. Put a pumpkin on his head. Where am I?
And Sean White is Jack Skellington. And Tony Hawk is Sally. Why not? Fuck it.
Yeah. I don't know. Enough is enough. Stop. Y'all just doing some random. Now y'all just picking shit from my hat. Which ones?
Lilo and Stitch.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, Lilo and Stitch.
And Carlos is in the room. Yeah.
This is for me.
God damn it. No. Enough is enough. Am I right?
Yes, you are right.
Thank you. God damn. Will Smith as the dog.
Will Smith as the dog. Zero.
No.
He'd be the Oogie Boogie.
Kevin Hart as Zero.
Yeah, I
Just put a sheet on him with a dog in. Rough, man! Rough!
That's Chris Tucker.
Yeah. Or is it TJ?
They say. Oh, yeah. No.
I don't know.
No, no. Look at the chat. They talk about no.
But that's all the same person. That's all Chris Ayers.
Oh man.
Oh no.
Nah, man. Oh, they're talking about Guillermo del Toro for a lot. I mean, I've trusted him with anything, but have you? I mean, we're not gonna look at it, but have you seen the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark trailer?
Yeah.
Fuck that shit. Those books were like for kids my age, a little bit older. That shit fucked me up as a kid. I ain't doing that.
And those
shit.
Books came out. I remember reading my first scary book when I was 9 years old.
Okay, so they've been out for a while.
Yeah, I was nine.
Yeah.
And the image that scares the fuck out of every kid is that chick
with the
string in hair.
The hollow eyes.
The hollow eyes, yeah. I went to bed with that shit, man. It scared the fuck out of me. Yeah, that image in my head. I was scared that bitch was going to walk through my room. I slept with my parents for a good 3 weeks after seeing that shit, man. That shit scared the fuck out of me.
Who took my right toe? I'm trying to help you gloss over the fact.
I know, I'm trying to help you out here. No, I was a scary ass kid.
Martin acted like he never been scared before.
I know. Martin been scared of plenty of shit. Like the way he was talking about my pizza that day.
I'm scared of Scooby-Doo episodes.
No. You know which one that was? That was the one where, and it freaked the fuck out of me. That was the one where the chick came in and she said, like a dude was sleeping in the house. Mm-hmm. And she came in the room. He was scared shitless. But then she said, all right, I'm going to be cool with you. I'm not going to do anything to you. But you got to do one thing for me. You got to take my index finger, the bone from my index finger,
yeah,
and take it to church and put it in if you put it in the pot, it'll help find my murderer. And he went to church the next day and put the bone in the pot. And this guy put some money in, and the bone just stuck to his hand. He couldn't shake it off.
Yeah.
And to get it off, he had to confess to the crime. And then the chick rewarded him because she said, all right, you know, good looking out. Now, if you go in the back, I got a lot of money buried back there.
Yeah.
Those stories were freaking. That's one of the actually happier ones.
Yeah, that's like there's a moral behind that. There's a little rat monster, that image too, that little I forgot what it's called. That little roll monster.
Rat rodent. Yeah. Do you remember the one where someone was just freaky? Like a dude got up and here it is. It's in the chat right there.
Oh, yeah, that's the
image. That's the one. Yeah. They had one where this dude got up and he thought it was like any other day. He went to church. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, he did it at the wrong time. So people who didn't go to this church at the right time on Sunday mornings, the dead actually got up and went. So this dude went to church and he sat down and then he started looking around, he's like, a lot of ugly motherfuckers. He found out that these people were dead.
Yeah.
And then they noticed that him looking around, they said, wait a minute, you're still alive. You're not dead. And they all got up and started trying to grab his ass. And he ran to the graveyard to get back to his house. Mm-hmm. And then the bell rang saying it was time, you know, for actual church.
Yeah.
And all the dead people stopped chasing him. That shit freaked me the fuck out. Like, who thinks of shit like this, man?
Right.
And church is supposed to be safe.
Yeah. And it's not like so scary. But they're always give you that kind of eerie feeling, like something's gonna happen to me, even if I'm doing right.
Yeah,
The spider face.
Yeah. Which one was your scariest one you read?
That spider face one. That one where she had the pimple,
popped and a spider came out.
Yeah, well, yeah,
baby spiders,
just like, and there's like the picture where the spiders just come out of like a gaping hole in her face. The image with that story fucked with me for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Like I don't got a pop, like pimples are fine, whatever. But that little hair. They even showed in the new trailer one of them. I'm like, oh, no, man. Mm.
Hey, actually, I want to share one with you. Come here, Serenity. I want to share this story with you. I mean, because I think you'd like it. Sit by me. Yeah, come over here. I want to share this story with you. That there's a move close. I want you on camera. I want everybody to see. Now, there was one, the scariest story that I remember reading. This old woman was at home by herself in the middle of the night in a cabin. And she was about to go to bed and about to put out the fire. And as she's going over to the fireplace, all of a sudden these 2 feet dangle down. And then she just stops and sees legs go further. And then a torso and then a whole body just falls into the fireplace. Mm-hmm. At this point, she's thinking somebody dumped a murdered body through my chimney.
Yeah.
And but then the thing starts to rise and get up. And she's petrified. She can't move as the thing gets around the room and just starts dancing and dancing, just getting wilder and wilder. And it just stops and just looks at her. And she's just looking back. And she doesn't know what to do. She just can barely muster up the courage to ask, why are you here? And the thing looks at her and says, I'm here. Well, you! Oh, you get the fuck out of here! I want to test your courage.
It was going to be funny.
It's too bad you couldn't have slowly dimmed the lights as you were telling the story.
I know, I know, man. You know what? We got that fireplace at the house now, though.
Through Twitch streams. Now
Carlos is just going
to
start dumping body parts down there.
But at night I look at that fireplace and I was like, I hope that man ain't come. but last night we were putting out the fire. We cut off the lights and the only thing that was going was the fireplace. Mm-hmm. And man, I was like, that shit. This would be great to have ghost stories by, because the room was just flickering and shit. Man, I'm thinking about having like a Halloween night at the house. Okay, you ain't going.
That's Felix in your chair.
Felix back there.
Yeah, so I don't like scary shit. Like that, those books. Like I'll say, like on my show, like I don't watch scary movies. I don't like scary movies because of those fucking books, man.
Wow.
Like I read a couple of those and was like, yep, I don't need to do this anymore. I don't get any pleasure out of this.
Yeah.
And people love them. People love scary movies and scary shit. I don't.
Yeah. No, they.
Fuck that.
I've been waiting for that movie to come out. When I heard Guillermo del Toro was attached, I was like, he'd be perfect, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
And now it's unrated as of yet. I'm wondering if they'll do it 13 or maybe if they get a PG where it's just really scary imagery, but like nothing crazy violent. I'm taking my nephew. I don't care how scared I am.
Yeah, man. I think it's got to be PG-13.
I guess.
Shit, those images, it ain't going to be R.
Hey, but we were 9 years old reading those goddamn books. Those images are terrifying.
Yeah,
that's true. They stopped the librarian from stopping us.
And now they pull the books and they redid
The images, and now they're like fucking Harry Potter graphics. Yeah. No, they're awful. They're like fucking cupcake shit, man. Yeah, I was like, kids were fine with it.
Sound like it.
Let's do the top five real quick. Number five, what is it, Martin?
Into the Spider-Verse is no longer in the top
five. Oh, Martin, you got me. Look at that. It is out, replaced by Glass at number five. $6.4 million for a total gross of $98.4 million after 4 weeks, and that's on a budget of $20 million. What's up with that, Sam?
This is good. Nobody, Shyamalan doesn't need to come back. He's still here. So
yeah.
That's really the biggest thing.
Is he making more of these?
They're not saying yet. I mean, he says he's not going to do it, but look at that. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could say I'm not going to make something that makes me a lot of money, but I'd be a liar. So,
okay.
There's probably more coming in the maybe different universe, maybe a different storyline of an inhuman type of person. But
I wouldn't mind seeing one if he could improve on it. You know, another one to end on a good note.
Well, he'll get you for one more movie because you're curious about that.
So. Yeah, I hope so.
It might be something like Split where it's this completely different movie and at the very end it ties into all that.
Some person has a fucking clover on their wrist or something.
Yeah.
Here we go. I'm calling it. I know.
Now you're right.
Executives aren't
That's
smart.
That's what I'm saying.
Directors are smart.
Let's see here. Let's go to number four.
If Glass is five, I'm going to guess the upside is number
four? The upside is indeed number four, Martin. $7.2 million for a total gross of $85.8 million. That's after week five. That's on a budget of $37.5 million. So a lot of people are not surprised to hear that Kevin Hart movie.
Only dropped 16%. This is going to make $100 million by the time it's done. People are just going to keep going and seeing it because there's nothing else to watch. So by the time they get down the list, it's like, yeah, let's go see The Upside. Why not? It's heartwarming or whatever. So, I mean, it's doing well. Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston have a good hit. Bryan Cranston, you know, dropped the ball the last couple times in the movies. So,
yeah.
This one he's pretty happy about probably.
So. All right. Cool then.
He's good.
Well, hey, like I'm saying, I wasn't crazy about the movie, but I'm not looking for them to fail, so good for them.
I liked it all right.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't hate it. You definitely liked it more than me.
Yeah.
Martin, what is number three?
Cold Pursuit.
Yes, sir. Weekend gross, $10.8 million for a total gross of $10.8 million on its first weekend. That's on an $80 million budget. I heard now.
Really? Because I read that it came in about where they expected it.
Well, I heard that it underperformed.
I heard it overperformed.
Yeah.
We're all jacked up. Yeah, so essentially I think they might have been like, let's put it down after all these comments and all this controversy. But it did better than they thought it would despite everything. So I think that the controversy didn't really affect it because it was mostly like older males that watched it. And so they're probably like, I want to kill a black bastard too. So the people who watch these movies, I don't think they care about that type of stuff.
Honestly, when I went to see it yesterday, I barely got a seat. Because theater was full and the demographics were all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is playing closer to The Commuter, which came out a couple years ago in January. So that movie made like $52 million. So if this does something similar, it'll still be under its budget. But I guess they're calling it a wash, I guess. I mean, it's Liam Neeson, you, plus or minus on these ones. Yeah. So.
All right.
He probably does better on video, the home market now.
Yeah.
All right.
Dads and stuff. Oh, let's watch this.
Watch Liam it on Neeson. Netflix.
What is the number two movie, Martin?
What
Men Want. Let me see here. The weekend gross on that is $19 million. Now, this did well. I mean, it came close to his budget over the weekend because that's a $20 million budget. So good for that one, man.
No, it did good. Despite the weak reviews, bad word of mouth. I mean, people are saying, yes, all right, whatever. But it's kind of the same thing with like Kevin Hart movies where the opening audience is to go, oh, yeah, that's really good. And then that's about it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like the cinema score wasn't even that great on it.
Yeah. The fact that it got $19 million in its first run, it'll make it back next week and then they'll be gone. And that's all it really needed to do. And if nothing is coming out next week, which I don't think anything really big is, then this might even have another run at number two with another 10, 15 million. So,
yeah. All right.
It'll be fine.
Let's go to the number one movie, Mr. Thomas.
The Lego Movie 2.
Now, this is the one they did say underperformed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And this is supposed to make $20 million more.
Yeah, no, well, that was the thing. I mean, people were thinking the first one made $69 million, so maybe this one would make somewhere maybe either equal or less than that. But this one way underperformed in pretty much every category.
$34.4 million on his opening weekend compared to how the other one did, and that's on a budget of $99 million, so disappointment.
Well, and this is lower than the Lego Batman movie, but still higher than Ninjago or whatever how you say
that
one.
Yeah, I hated that.
But that was $20 million.
There's too many Lego movies out there.
And that was the thing. People were saying that they maybe pushed too many of these out in succession, especially with the Lego Ninjago one where nobody really liked that. Nobody knew what it was. And I don't think it was as big as a property as they thought it would be for kids. So
yeah, even our review, like this should have been a big review for us. And we here's something interesting about this film. So our views were lower than average for this review for a big movie like this.
Wow.
And I remember calling up a couple of editors. I'm like, what the hell's going on with this? How'd you guys tag this? And they're like, man, we looked all around the internet and everybody's view count is low.
So
Lego
people
movie.
Are just like done with Lego.
Yeah, they're just not interested.
Well,
man,
doesn't
it seems
have
like
the same thing, you know. I mean, you had Lord Miller doing the first one, and those guys were hot off of the Jump Street series, and now it's just some yokels after two other Lego movies. So, you know.
Yeah, people and you know what? I think this is getting kind of outshined by How to Train Your Dragon. People looking forward to that one.
Yeah, surprisingly, yeah.
Yeah, one's got a lot of hype.
But just because you're looking forward to some movie coming up doesn't mean you can't see the one that's out there now.
I mean, I'm not speaking for anybody. I'm saying it's just what it is. Like, a lot of people are just somehow just, tired of Legos, and they're just kind of like, okay, they're mediocre about it, but How to Train Your Dragon is the one that they're kind of like, all right, you know, we have our sights set on that. So,
yeah.
I don't make these people go see movies. I don't stop them from seeing them. I just report, Mark.
And that's the weird thing, because, like, Valentine's Day is coming out this weekend, Thursday. And there's no real big releases coming out. I mean, nothing too crazy anyway.
Well, there's Battle Angel and there's something else.
Well, Battle Angel's...
Angel, they say, is going to be one of the biggest flops of 2019.
Right. Yeah, and then there's another one coming out. And
Happy really, Death Day.
Yeah, that's right. Happy Death Day might do better. Yeah. I might even chance that it might do better than that because, you know, a couple want to go see that more than some weird
Happy
sci-fi.
Death Day is going to have a low budget.
Yeah,
it'll probably earn its money back on that weekend.
Yeah,
and plus a lot of people they like the first one
because the advertising is great on that one.
It is
because I didn't see the first one.
You know, as much as you don't like scary movies, you should watch that.
Right.
It's not even a scary movie.
Yeah.
It's a comedy.
Yeah. So I got the idea of what it was from the trailer. It recapped the first movie. And then it said, the premise of this one is I got to die to save all you assholes. And like, yeah. She's like, fuck. All right. Let's do this. And so that to me, I was like, yeah, that seems like something that's interesting. If it's a second movie that is obviously riding the coattails and is a little bit more to add to it.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
I mean, but yeah, the Lego movie is going to be out of number one.
Yeah.
For sure. No matter what.
Uh-oh. We ain't done yet, though. Martin said, how come you didn't go see that other movie? And I said, well, nobody went to go see this movie. And they didn't. But it was a budget low enough to where it still made his money
right.
back.
Yep.
The Prodigy, weekend gross, $6 million on a budget of $6 million.
$6 million. Ooh.
Ain't the sign of the beast.
Ooh. Now, that premise was fucked up, man. Some genius-ass kid killing your ass, getting all crazy and shit.
Is that? I didn't even know what the premise was.
Yeah, the premise is like this really gifted child starts going crazy. He's like, he's on the right track or whatever, is really smart, and then all of a sudden just has these weird neuroses where he's like killing animals and shit. And then he just, since he's so smart, it starts escalating and they don't know what to do with him. They don't know if they should institutionalize him. They don't know whether to kill him. They're even thinking about that. And
see, this could have played into the M. Night Shyamalan universe.
Yeah. Well, hey, we got one more movie, man. I think he said he can do. And you know, first he said, I'm done with this. And he saw that money coming in. He's like, well, you know, I think I can muster up. Yeah.
But audiences thought it sucked. Critics thought it sucked. Oh, but really? It made its money back. So what are you going to do? All it's a wash.
Yeah. You know? I mean, that's what you can always say. You know, I'm rich, bitch. You know, that's
what. But on Netflix, and you'll be fine. You'll make its money back.
I'm not rich, but I didn't lose anything.
Yeah. Well, I made money. So
it's like going gambling and just breaking even. Yeah. All right. Well, that was fun.
Yeah. Well, I made money. Yeah. And drug addicts make money by sucking dick. So, you know, that don't mean anything. Just because you make money don't mean always is in a good way. Fun fact here. James Wan is the only director other than James Cameron to make two movies in two different franchises that grossed $1 billion each. So. Somebody put Chris Ayers put that in there. I just saw fun fact. That's on, for you, Martin.
At least that was an actual
fun fact. That was an actual fun fact.
Oh, let's see here.
It wasn't a fun fact to brush my teeth.
Yeah, I didn't bother to see this movie, man. I was going to go see it, and then I saw how low it's performing. I said, forget about it. So anyway, that is it. Out of here. I want to thank Brigham for coming by, man, hanging out. Thank you, sir.
Brigham.
What is it again? I got it right here. I think I still have it up.
By the Mayfields.
Yeah, I caught that. Stonewall Coleman, man. That's what I called it. That's what I put you as on Instagram. They thought it was really your great-great-grandfather. Yeah. Some people are like, is that really his great-great-grandfather? I'm like,
My great-great-grandfather was very fashionable, ahead of his time.
Stonewall Coleman. I think I called you Cornwall Coleman.
Cornhole Coleman.
Cornwall Coleman.
Hezekiah Erasmus Coleman.
Erasmus.
You know.
worked in the house. Slip that in.
Hey, here's a fun fact for Black History Month. People don't know that a black man invented the members-only jacket right here, but he never got credit for it, man. So... For years,
was that a members only jacket?
No. That's my leather jacket.
I'm about
man.
To say, because you made fun of TJ for his.
Did I?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He does have it.
And I like the jacket. It's a cool jacket. But y'all make fun of his ass. I know the history behind
I'm sorry.
The members only jacket.
I'm so sorry. TJ, I'm sorry.
Speaking of Kung Fu DJ, DT merch. He's on a shirt now.
He's on a shirt.
Somebody bought one. Hemendinger bought one. So I'm going to put that
up. Yeah, no, it's actually selling pretty well right now. So people, go over to DT merch, as Sammy Gonzalez said, and get your. Get the shit kicked out of you from DTmerch.com through Kung Fu TJ. And there is a shirt that's going to be up until...
Why do you have Canadian currency?
It keeps doing that, man. I don't know why it does that. I changed that already.
Take the proxies off of your computer.
I took it off and it came back.
I was like, man, that's
kind of like $24 American.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I don't know why I keep changing the Canadian dollars.
700 pesos.
Is that BBTV?
Yeah. Something happened. I changed it and went back. Anyway, that's not American dollars right there. Go and get that T-shirt by the great Fernando. You'll see his art later as we promote it. Let me see. Maybe they will let me review Avengers Endgame.
And they didn't give Groot a cookie. Yeah. So
that game will never end. If she... You know what? I'll get you back up to do something. I like your reviews. I do. We'll find something for you to do. 2 minutes. Yeah, I like that. That's a talent, the way that you to sum up your views that unique in 2 minutes like you do. It's a totally different thing. I like it. It's almost like she reviewed a totally different movie by the end.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is she talking? A tree?
And it's like Oprah.
Yeah, it's like Oprah. What? And I was waiting for that scene with Groot at the end to come in. I'm like, what? No, I do not have a problem with Canadian currency, Maven, except it just makes our stuff look more expensive. That's it. So that is it. Denise is fly. She is. And she's fresh and dope.
Oh, sure.
The call is out there. Let Denise review Avengers Endgame. The hashtag is out there. You got fans. You got fans now.
It's Chris Ayers.
Chris.
Fun fact, let Denise review Endgame.
She's actually in the chat right now putting up her own hashtag. All right. Let's see. That's it, y'all. Thank you, Sammy.
Yes, of course.
Sam. Appreciate Denise. Felix, thank you for the heads up on Aladdin. Thank you for the ribs, Martin. Oh, look at this.
Gus Fring back there, too, over there. He scared the hell out of me. I don't know who that is. What's your name, brother?
Michael.
Michael.
He, you know what? We told him he looked like Gus Fring. He dressed up like that for Halloween.
Fuck that.
There's Julian in his Kung Fu TJ shirt. Looks nice. Yeah.
It's a big print, man. It's a lot of TJ on a shirt.
Oh, that's good. It's hard to tell how big it is from just the image right there.
Yeah. No, that's a good shirt, man. It's a very good shirt. Other things are coming up too.
The Twilight Zone.
Yeah. And what's up, sir?
Oh, they haven't gotten an album of the year yet, but This Is America won Song of the Year.
Childish Gambino? Yeah. I had a feeling it was going to get that. Update on the Grammys. Childish Gambino, This Is America, won Song of the Year?
Yep.
Song of the Year. There you go. All right. That's it. We are out of here. Thank you for the ribs, sir.
Oh, yeah.
You betcha. And thank you, Nick, for coming in, sir. I appreciate that. Serenity, thank you. And Carlos. Yeah. Hey, baby. And thank you for the help on the Aladdin talk. I appreciate that. And put that goddamn Nintendo down, man. Playing, you're playing Super Smash Brothers again. You have a problem. You are addicted, man. It's the same thing. All right, that is it, y'all. We're out of here. Remember, you can email us anytime. Don't hesitate. Just pop open a keyboard and type in for us. kcoolmanz@gmail.com. That's kcoolmanz@gmail.com. Email us with any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and advice. Want to be part of the show? We're too late. We're dumb. But we got more shows coming up this week, so email us, put your phone number there, put your Skype contact in there. Anything else you think you may need to get a hold of you, press send, and bam, up in your home, bringing the spirit to you. Only host in the world, only pastors in the world, the house calls. On Instagram, type in Double Toasted. On Twitter, type in Double Toasted. On Facebook, type in Double Toasted. Want some private time with me? Type in core.com.5. If I'm too busy out there bringing the spirit to people, Mr. Thomas.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Martin_NoPro. Or look for Martin Thomas on Facebook. Get in there on Facebook. Join a group, the Children of the Toast. And you might find Mr. Sammy Gonzalez.
Sammy Gonzalez, DT on Facebook. With excellence on all other forms of social media. Valentine's Day, The Notebook. I'll see you lovers then. Corey, back to you.
Oh, no, back to these folks here in the world-famous Double Toasted Studios now with two stank-ass couches. All you got to do, email us, kcoolmanz@gmail.com. Let us know you're in Austin. You plan on coming to see a show. Let us know first so we can accommodate you. All right, everybody, that is it. Thank you so much. We had a great time with you, but now we have to say good night, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever you're listening to or watching this, goodbye and stay toasted.
Hi.
You just fart with